77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
The first witness taking the stand in the historic criminal trial of a former president of the United States. Donald Trump, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, so-called hush money payments to cover up an alleged affair with an adult porn star. In opening statements, prosecutors accused Trump of taking part in a criminal conspiracy to interfere with the 2016 election. But defense attorneys claim Trump did nothing wrong and argued that some of the prosecution witnesses are liars and biased against the former president.
It's a very, very sad day in America.
Former President Trump claimed he was the target of election interference, that Democrats in Washington had orchestrated his indictment to keep him off the campaign trail.
I should be in Georgia now. I should be in Florida now.
But prosecutors told the jury Trump had orchestrated a criminal scheme to corrupt the 2016 election. The prosecution pointed to a 2015 Trump Tower meeting among Trump, his former lawyer Michael Cohen, and then National Enquirer publisher David Pecker, where they allegedly worked out a plan to conceal negative information regarding Trump's alleged sexual encounter with former adult film star Stormy Daniels, all of which Trump denies. Cohen admitted to paying Daniels $130,000 to suppress her story days before the election. Trump later reimbursed Cohen, citing the payment as legal fees. Prosecutors today called it the porn star payoff.
It's a case as to bookkeeping, which is a very minor thing.
In court, his defense attorney Todd Bland said Trump committed no crime, saying, "I have a spoiler alert. There's nothing wrong with trying to influence an election. It's called democracy." As the prosecution's first witness, Pecker, in very brief testimony, did not discuss the 2015 meeting with Trump and Cohen, but acknowledged the Enquirer paid for stories, calling it checkbook journalism.
I get indicted. I'm the leading candidate. I'm beating Biden. I'm beating the Republicans now. I have the nomination. And this is what they try and take me off the trail for.
Alec, can you please save me Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec? No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin.
I'm so sorry.
Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say free Palestine one time. One time. One time. One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a f***ing criminal. Come on, Alec. Just say free Palestine one time. One time. Just one time. Please. And I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. F*** Israel. F*** Zionism. Please say it. One time.
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campuses like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
The NYPD moves in to shut down hundreds of pro-Palestinian protesters at NYU.
NYU gave demonstrators a 4 p.m. deadline to leave the plaza. They didn't, so roughly 4 hours later, the university, citing safety concerns, called on the NYPD. The NYPD moved in to make arrests outside NYU's Stern School of Business following a day of demonstrations and the setup of a pro-Palestinian encampment. Many demonstrators stayed put in the plaza as cops removed tents, taking people into custody. The people were loaded onto buses as demonstrators moved into the street and witnesses chanted. At times, it got tense between protesters and police. Cops held a line in front of the plaza as ralliers took over West 4th Street. NYU officials said there was a breach and barrier set up, and campus security ordered demonstrators to clear the plaza area by 4 p.m., which didn't happen. Students we spoke with say they planned to stay put until demands were met.
Columbia University, where there were more arrests, and Columbia says for the rest of the school year, students can now choose to be on campus or be remote at its Morningside campus. This, as there are new questions about what protesters are pushing for. How many are backing Hamas?
I never, ever, ever thought that I would even think to need to be or have to be speaking about what's going on right over here in New York City. if this was a group of people screaming against tall people, short people, black people, Spanish people, Asian people, people with big noses, big feet, little noses, this would be stopped ASAP. This is not the New York way. This is an embarrassment to New York City.
That's right.
This is an embarrassment to the city of New York.
Thank you, Sid. Mom, Dad, I just killed 10 Jews with my bare hands. Those words were the words I heard when I visited Israel a month after October 7th and watched a 21-minute video, raw footage, unedited, of the Hamas terrorist attack on October 7th, and listen to a young Palestinian man call home to his parents to say how he butchered 10 Jews with his bare hands. That level of hatred is taught. It's taught in the schools in Gaza. And unfortunately, we see it being taught on schools in America.
We will continue to fight that good fight. Ladies and gentlemen, this is truly an attack on democracy. It's an attack on our values. When we hear death to Israel, death to America, it's a threat to all of us. This is not a political thing. It's not a Republican thing. It's not a Democrat thing. It's the right thing to stand behind Israel, stand behind its people, and do the right thing.
My name is Sid Rosenberg. I am the morning show host. 77 WABC Radio. This idea was born on my radio show at 6 a.m. this morning. First of all, let me thank everybody for coming out here today. It's important for all the press that we see for these people across the street taking over our city. It's important that the pro-Israel, the pro-Jewish voices be heard as well, especially today. With tonight being the first night of Passover, that's why I thought today is the perfect time to come and hold this conference. We see what's happening right across the street. I see tents in there. I see camps in there. I can't believe in New York City, with such a large and proud Jewish population, that we've allowed this to happen. And people have taken over universities and are out in the streets promoting a group that murdered, tortured, and raped innocent Jewish people on a Saturday morning during Shabbat and a Jewish holiday. Unprovoked murder and rape, and yet we've got people all over this city, right there across the street, that are promoting this as if it's a good thing. So I've got a lot of friends in politics, and these are fine people. I want to bring up each one by one so they can tell you how they feel today on this important Passover holiday, right here across the street from one of our finest institutions that at this point has been taken over by terrorists. Not that these people are. They're terrorists. If you're a pro-terrorist, you're a terrorist.
Got a package full of wishes. A time machine, a magic wand, a globe made out of gold. No instructions or commandments. Laws of gravity or indecisions to uphold. Printed on the box I see, Acme's built a world to be. Take a chance, grab a piece, help me to believe it. What kind of world do you want? Think anything. Let's start at the start, build a master. You wish for. History starts now. Should there be people or people? Money, funny pedestals for fools who never pay. Your army, choose your steeple. Don't be shy, the satellites can look the other way. Lose the earthquakes, keep the faults, fill the oceans without the
think says it very well right here when they say, be careful what you wish for. History starts now. What kind of world do you want? This one? I don't think so.
What kind of world do you want? What kind of world do you want?
Folks, welcome back to Sid and Friends in the Morning on this day one of Passover. After last night, the first Seder started the holiday. So if you are listening this morning and you are Jewish, whether you're home or working, happy Passover. If not, happy Tuesday to the rest of you. And we know what the big story is today, and it's not Donald Trump. I think Trump is actually annoyed by that. The fact that his hush money trial now into day six today, second day since they picked the jury, is outside of NBC, MSNBC. It's not the big story today. In fact, I'll tell you something. We, before our Seder last night, we got back to Queens late in the afternoon and we were hungry. So we went over to Oasis Diner. So my dear friend Pete Liberatos, George's father, George just became a dad again and Peter just became a grandfather again. So my buddy Jimmy Crash and a whole bunch of fine people. And while we were there, the television set was on. And the 6 o'clock news came on ABC. And guess what story they did not start with? Trump. Guess what story they did start with? Our rally at Columbia. The actual video they showed was Michael Rappaport speaking, me standing right next to him. But that was the big story yesterday. And even this morning on Fox News, that show is now 15 minutes in, Fox and Friends, with Kilmeade, Ainsley, Jones, and Ducey. And all they're showing is this New York University protesters confront NYPD with flares. 150 arrests at New York University. You know, even yesterday at Columbia, when we got there about an hour before, I did Steve Bannon's show, The War Room. That was great. And then I spent some time across the street with Justin Ellick, who was terrific yesterday, and Chris Boyle. Chris Boyle works for Bruce Blakeman out there in Nassau County. The guy's tremendous. And he did a great job yesterday keeping the media there because the NYPD across the street from Columbia had a press conference. A lot of the NYPD big shots were there, and they were about to wrap it up and leave. And Boyle said, no, 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 don't leave. Coming up in about an hour, that guy right there, Sid Rosenberg, is holding a pro-Jewish press conference. And we got some big wigs coming. Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman, Long Island Congressman Anthony D'Esposito, Rockland County Congressman Mike Lawler, actor Michael Rappaport. So Boyle did a great job, and they all stayed for the actual rally at 12:30. But they were starting to amass outside. There was one low-life piece of garbage who I did threaten verbally, holding up a sign how Israel has killed 14,000 children. Just Google it. And this animal is walking right in front of the cops and right in front of me doing his thing. And then by the time we started our rally at about 12:15, there were a bunch of these low-life kids, these fat, stupid, nasty kids, wearing their kafirs and all that stupid clothing, and they started to rally across the street, two or three different positions, if you will, right there on Broadway between 116 and really 112. But I have to tell you that it all started, this idea, really Sunday with Michael Rappaport, when Rappaport reached out to me and said, let's go to Columbia and break some heads. That's what he said. And I think I'm a tough guy. It annoys my wife. I know it, my kids. But I think I'm a tough guy. I go, let's do it. I'm in. Let's go there and break some heads. And then the next morning, yesterday morning early, I came on the air and said, let's go to Columbia today because the weather was great. But more importantly, Passover started last night. And as soon as I said it, I've got to give Congressman Anthony D'Esposito a ton of credit. He texted me seconds later. And don't forget, Anthony was my first guest yesterday at 6:45, and he said, I'm coming. And once I knew I had D'Esposito and Rappaport, I knew I had a rally. And not long after Anthony was on, I got a message from him that said, Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman wants to come. And then maybe an hour after that, I got another message that said, Mike Lawler wants to come. So now all of a sudden, we've got ourselves a legitimate rally. And then to the credit of our listeners here on Sitting Friends in the Morning, a lot of you showed up. And you were great. Screaming, Am Yisrael Chai. Am Yisrael Chai. Am Yisrael Chai. Holding Israeli flags, proud Jews, a lot of our listeners showed up. And what was going on across the street with these scumbags, these lowlives, meant nothing. Because at least for about 15 minutes on 116th Street and Broadway, Jewish people mattered. It wasn't about these animals, these pro-Palestinians, how many were getting arrested, how many were setting fires. It wasn't about campus presidents. It wasn't about any of that. It was about what we are going to do moving forward and how Jewish lives matter in a city where every other life seems to matter more. Black lives, gay lives, pro-Palestinian lives. Somewhere along the line, Jewish lives have stopped mattering. They don't matter. But I tell you what, not the NYPD. These guys showed up yesterday, and as soon as I got there with Justin, we were met by some real big shots, and they were great. In fact, let me mention a few of the names. One of these guys, he's an inspector. He's going to be a chief soon. Kevin Taylor, he was great. But the guy that really set the whole thing up for us, thanks to a phone call from my dear friend Michael Kemper, Chief Raul Stevenson. Chief Stevenson was terrific. Good-looking guy, big, strong guy. He was great. So Stevenson and Taylor right away took care of us. In fact, at one point, Taylor gives me the phone and goes, hey, Sid, this lady's name is Regina. She listens every morning. She loves you. She's a retired lieutenant. Would you say hello? And, of course, I did. Regina O2. And then when the event ended, this was funny. Michael Rappaport goes to me, do you see, Sid, what's across the street? So I start to walk there, and Danielle starts to yell. And the cops are yelling, and Rappaport is like, Sid, just stop, just stop. Your wife is here, just stop. I was ready to go across and get involved in a physical altercation. I really was. But then it turns out that Paul DiGiacomo, Lewis, our good buddy, the head of the DEA, we love Paul, he sent a guy. The guy's name is Frank Ciccone. And he was there literally to watch me. So we leave finally at about, 1:30. We start walking towards 110th Street to get on the 1 train, and it's me, Danielle, Justin, and this guy's coming with us, Frank Ciccone. This guy ended up taking the train, the 1 train, one stop to 96th Street, then the 3 train express to Wall Street, who we got the ferry. He stayed on the train the whole time with me and Danielle to make sure we got out safely. Unbelievable.
You got to have a Paul DiGiacomo. That's great.
These guys, yep, he is great, and all these guys were great. And the cops, they hate these kids. They hate them. They don't respect them. They don't want to hear about it. I mean, when you get AOC, let's be honest, folks, okay? Is there a bigger asshole in the world today than AOC?
Okay. That's a pretty hot topic.
No, you're right. I mean, certainly,
a lot.
Biden, Schumer, all these guys. But for her to come out, yes, I don't care if you think she's cute. She's not cute.
No, she's stupid.
She's an animal. She's stupid. For her to come out yesterday and talk about how she's proud of these kids, this is her future, how peaceful they are. And then we purposely played in the open the story right after she said those stupid words of all those arrests at NYU. They're anything but peaceful. They're hateful. They're violent. They're disgusting.
A woman got hit in the eye with the
stabbed,
yeah.
At Yale University.
Is she insane?
Well, here it is. This is a Lewis AOC cut number 5. First of all, she was celebrating Earth Day. And let me just say this. There's not a dumber day the whole year than Earth Day. Whatever the hell it is, I don't know. People go to Central Park and smell the grass. I had a bunch of folks that text me and were like, hey, can we come on and talk about Earth Day? I'm like, no, you can't. Not on this show. But she's hanging out with Joe Biden talking about Earth Day, and then she gives credit to these animals.
Do they get special glasses on Earth Day?
Yeah, same thing, same nonsense. This is AOC cut number 5.
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campus, is like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and
just
many
like
others.
Right.
Oh, what an idiot.
You dumb son of a bitch. I guess it's so peaceful. Is that why they're having remote learning at Columbia the rest of the year?
Yeah.
They decided yesterday not make it a one-day event. The rest of the year, hybrid learning at Columbia because kids, it's not safe to go to school. What's peaceful about that, you dumb biatch? Tell me that, AOC. What's peaceful about that? I mean, my God.
You're right. She's probably at the top of the list.
She's got to be the top of the list.
Yeah.
So then I'm at the Columbus Day Parade. I'm dating all the way back to October. And I'm waiting for the convertible that Angelo Vivolo, my dear friend, provides me with every year. Me and Joe Tacopina, I invited Tacopina to sit in the car with me this year. And I see some disgusting lady who I had seen the year before walk up to me. She's wearing like a big pair of underwear. Her big, fat, nasty boobs are hanging out. She's got makeup all over her face. Looked ridiculous. Big, fat, black lady. And she goes by the name of Crackhead Barney. And for some reason, I allowed this Crackhead Barney to interview me on Columbus Day. And to be honest, I had no idea how hateful and stupid she was. And it ended up being a kind of funny conversation. She was actually hitting on me. She's grotesque, but I played along. But yesterday, this crackhead Barney, who for some reason, once again, the media, and I'm doing it right now, we pay attention to, came up to Alec Baldwin. It is very, very difficult to make Alec Baldwin a sympathetic figure. It's almost impossible. Congratulations to Crackhead Barney, another just disgusting female, for doing that. Alec Baldwin fought back. Congratulations, Alec. Today I like him. I'll hate him again tomorrow, but today I like him. This is Alec Baldwin, cut number 4.
Alec, can you please say Free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec?
Sorry.
No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin.
I'm so sorry.
Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say Free Palestine one time. One time. One time.
Call the police.
One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a f***ing criminal. Come on, Alec, just say Free Palestine one time. One time, just one time, please. And I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. F*** Israel, f*** Zionism. Please say it. One time.
Oh, that was him pushing her away. You could hear the
punch you in the face.
Oh, I mean, I really wanted him to punch her in the face. I don't advocate violence, especially to females. But this is just an animal. This is not a person. I mean, look at the two ladies I just played. Look at the two I just played, AOC and Crackhead Barney. And you want to know why civilization as we know it, as David Letterman used to say, is coming to an abrupt end. AOC and Crackhead Barney. That sets us up for a big-time show today, folks. Brian Kilmeade, the great Curtis Sliwa, Rudy Giuliani, Hall of Fame boxing trainer Teddy Atlas, and the great columnist from the New York Post, Michael Goodwin. A lot of sound from yesterday's rally. And, of course, we'll talk about my guy, President Trump. The number is always 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Tuesdays with Sid. Keep it right here.
There's no proof. The paper today tells of war and the ways, but you turn right over to the TV page.
With crime running rampant in New York, you need to keep yourself and your family safe. Obtaining your concealed carry firearm licenses can be difficult and time-consuming. That's where MyFirstPistol.com comes in. They'll help you secure your concealed carry license.
If you're looking for a pistol, premise, rifle, or shotgun license, call 347-559-7052. 347-559-7052. You must have a valid firearm license issued by the NYPD to purchase, possess, or shoot a handgun or pistol in NYC.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Isaac. Where is Chris Isaac these days, Lewis?
I think he's holed up on a farm in Iowa.
Yeah, probably.
With the last couple of texts we exchanged,
yeah,
it wasn't really a happy time.
Oh, you guys talk often?
Yeah.
That's good.
I used to say if I was playing on the other team, I would probably go after Chris Isaac.
Oh, he was a very handsome guy, yes. Still is.
And he's got a great voice. Great musician.
But is he pro-Jewish?
Well, we didn't get into that in the text.
Yeah,
really,
that's all
yet.
I care about,
I didn't
really
know how his Passover has gone or anything, and I'm not sure. But and he's a good looking guy, and he's funny, and he had a little he had a TV show for a little while.
Yes, he did. I remember that. Yeah.
You ever see That Thing You Do? That movie about the band?
I saw it. Sure. Yeah. He was in that. Yeah.
Yeah. He records their single.
We got this great social media department with Gina Bina, Stephanie Bongiorno, and Dougie Kills, who I love, Dougie. Just random thought. Where were these pussy protesters when it was cold outside?
True.
Excellent job, Doug Kilzer.
Because we would have been out there rain or shine yesterday.
Damn right.
It could have been snowing. It could have been hailing yesterday. It could have been hail the size of tennis balls. We would have been out there.
Not me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I would have.
Maybe you would have been.
Well, if you weren't out there, I wasn't going to be out there.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is people were saying to me, when you watch the news last night, for example, they were all over Michael Rappaport, who may join me coming up at 8:15 this morning, because he's a big star. I mean, a lot of you hate him. I get it. I just don't care. God, this is not about Trump yesterday. And he's come around on Trump. Still calls him Dick Stain. I can do without that. But he's coming around on Trump. But this was about Jewish and Israel, and he's great with that. Great. So I wanted him there, and he did a terrific job. But you would have thought, watching all the news last night, 6 o'clock news, Fox News, even Fox News this morning, that it was Michael Rappaport's rally. It wasn't. It was mine. And then with the help of Anthony D'Esposito, we ended up putting this thing together.
Yeah. No, it was great. And they got, I'm blanking on his, who's this guy's name there?
Which guy? It's Blakeman's guy.
Oh, it's
Chris
Blakeman's
Boyle.
Guy. Yeah.
He did a great job.
He did a great job.
Yeah, great job. But, you know, last night when the rally was over and Passover was over, the first Seder, I should say, it's not over, and I had a chance to just sit down and relax, I put the Knick game on. And I love this time of year because you get the Rangers, game 2 coming up tonight, and you get the Knicks. Every day is a different game, and they play different nights, which is great. So I get the Knicks one night, Rangers the next. Knicks one night, Rangers the next. And in both of these games for the Knicks against the 76ers, they fell behind by double digits early and really struggled. So Jalen Brunson, the best player on the team by a mile, he has been awful shooting the ball. He continues to get to the free throw line. He hustles, makes some good passes, but he's shooting like 30%, maybe less in this series. But other players like Josh Hart, game 1, Deuce McBride, last night, DiVincenzo, they picked up the slack for Brunson, and somehow the Knicks are up 2-0. I watch these games, and it feels like all I'm watching is Maxey and Embiid score baskets. But somehow, because they fight, the Knicks fight like us. They're up 2-0. And last night, it seemed really improbable the Knicks were going to eke out a win, but they did. And if you missed it, my dear friend, the great Hall of Famer Mike Breen, with one of the best calls of his career as DiVincenzo, make sure the Knicks go back to Philly or to Philly up 2-0. Cut 14.
DiVincenzo finds Brunson. Great defense here for the Sixers. Another chance here, DiVincenzo, he's got it! The Knicks have the lead again! Their defense turning into offense! What a flurry for the Knickerbockers!
Mike Breen, Knicks go up 2-0, game 2 for the Rangers.
I don't know if that is
coming up later on tonight. That was not Breen, huh?
No, that was TNT.
It's a TNT.
Yeah, that was, who was that on TNT?
It sounds a little bit like him.
Because I watched the Knick game on MSG with Breen.
Yes, mm-hmm. I did too.
I didn't watch TNT.
Yeah.
Get the Mike Breen one. It's a much better call.
Okay, I'll get the Mike Breen one.
Much better call. Yeah. Rangers tonight, game 2. They're up 1-0 on the Capitals and Louis Islanders. Not their fault. They're completely outclassed in the series. I mean, Carol.
Their fault. They suck.
Well, they don't suck, but
yeah,
they
suck.
Played great hockey the last month of the year.
Well,
Carolina. Carolina happens to be the favorite to win the Eastern Conference. They're favorite over the Rangers. So they're not losing to a bad team. And they're down 2-0. They're going to be eliminated. There's no question about it. And we'll see what the Rangers do in game two at the Garden against the Capitals later on tonight.
They had a 3-0 lead.
No, I know.
In the second period.
I know.
And then they started to play awful again.
Yeah.
I watched. They got it. You cannot do that against a really
superior
team.
You go up 3-0, you got to win that game.
You got to win the game.
You can't allow 5 unanswered goals.
And they scored the last 3 goals in the last 2 minutes.
In like
of the
a minute
game.
And a half. Yeah.
When it got
terrible.
Tied up, I went.
It was a bad loss.
Bad loss. Bad time.
So we got all that great sports going on. The Mets and Yankees both lost yesterday. Too early in the season to get too excited or too nervous about either one of those ball clubs. But certainly the Knicks and the Rangers and the Isles, at least they're participating, giving us some postseason TV viewing.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Justin Ellick here with your bottom of the hour sports update sponsored by Pete Morgan of Peerless Boilers. Go to peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com to find a dealer near you. They're the world's best built boilers on the hardwood at the Garden. That exciting action last night. Dante DiVincenzo made a go-ahead three-pointer with 13 seconds remaining after a desperate scramble. And the Knicks beat the Philadelphia 76ers 104-101 to take a 2-0 lead in their first-round playoff series. The Knicks trailed by 5 points within the final 30 seconds before one of the more stunning rallies in playoff history, starting when Jalen Brunson finally got a shot to fall during an otherwise miserable shooting night, and the DiVincenzo three came thereafter. Hardenstein then blocked Maxey's drive. Anunoby made 2 free throws, and the Knicks held on when Embiid missed a three-pointer at the buzzer. Brunson finished with 24 points despite going 8-for-29 from the field. Hart had 21 and 15 rebounds, and DiVincenzo, he had 19. Game 3, Thursday in Philly. On the ice in Carolina, Sebastian Aho scored the tying goal late in the third period, followed by Martinuk with the winner 9 seconds later, and the Islanders fell to the Hurricanes 5-3, turning a 3-goal Game 2 lead into a 2-0 deficit in their first-round playoff series. This one ended with frustrations flaring for the Isles. Several scrums between the two squads. Multiple players taking early trips to the locker room. The series shifts north to Elmont for the next two, with Game 3 set for Thursday night. As for the Hockey Blue Shirts, they'll pick up round one action with the Caps tonight in Game 2 at the Garden. Puck drop there set for 7 p.m. In baseball, the Yankees dropped their opener at home to the Oakland Athletics. Final score 2-0. On the bright side, Carlos Rodon was once again better than good on the bump, allowing one hit over 7 scoreless and lowering his ERA to 2.70. He's given up 3 runs or fewer in all 5 of his starts this year. Up next for the Yanks, Game 2 against Oakland tonight at 7.05. Marcus Stroman scheduled to get the start. Out west, the Mets ended up on the losing side of things as well, falling 5-2 in their opener against the Giants in San Fran. Pete Alonso goes deep. Game 2 scheduled for tonight at 9:45 p.m. Eastern Time. Luis Severino primed to take the hill. And the Jets, they traded Zach Wilson to the Denver Broncos. They'll receive a 6-round selection in this week's NFL draft from the Broncos, who, in addition to Wilson, will get a 7th-round pick. Those are picks number 203 and pick number 256. That's sports sponsored by Pete Morgan of Peerless Boilers. Go to peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com to find a dealer near you. They're the world's best-built boilers. I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends.
77 WABC.
Every time I look into your loving eyes, I see love that money just can't buy. One look from you, I drift away. I pray that you are here to stay. Anything you want, you got it. Anything you need, you got it. Anything at all, you got it, baby.
sin, and I'm not sure if he died today or if today was his birthday. You know, he was a super talent. Roy Orbison, Lou Ruffino. What's the significance of him today?
Born in which state?
He was born in the great state of Kansas.
Okay, you're kind of close.
Not really, am I?
No, you're in the right hemisphere.
All right, he's in Illinois.
No, he went too north. No.
Where was he?
South, Texas.
Oh, Texas. Today his birthday?
1936. Yes,
that would make him 64 plus 24, 88 years old.
Yes, except he died about 30 years ago.
I loved him, though, the great Roy Orbison. So me and Alex show up at 116th and Broadway yesterday. I do want to thank Curtis Sliwa, too. Curtis was a huge help yesterday morning. It's coming up at 7:15, but he was a huge help yesterday morning. And his sister, Maria, did a very good job, too, of promoting the event. Her and Chris Boyle out on Long Island, it was out there. So we show up, and one of the first people we saw were a couple of guys from City Hall. Fabian Levy, we didn't talk to Fabian, but we did speak to Menashe Shapiro. I love Menashe. Menashe is a very, very, very close friend. And they left. They went to the Chabad, the Columbia Chabad. But no mayor. Because the mayor was down in Miami. And I'm going to bring this up a couple of times today. I don't know why he was there. I guess maybe some Earth Day, climate control, weather czar. I don't know. But I have to ask you this. How on a day like yesterday, Passover, starting last night, Jewish students at not just one, but two prestigious Manhattan universities, NYU and Columbia, under fire, terroristic death threats, and you've got Pesach starting yesterday, and you're in Miami, jerking off some weather czar? Are you nuts? That was despicable that Mayor Adams was not there with us yesterday. I don't care how long in advance that was planned. I don't care how important City Hall is going to make that day sound yesterday. He should have been in New York City. You love the Jews. You're so pro-Jewish. It's Pesach. You got Jewish students so scared that Columbia, this is really a disgrace, has now offered hybrid learning the rest of the year, and you're in Miami. How does that make any sense? Tell me, how does that make any sense?
What was he, what did he, what really?
I don't even know. I don't care.
Somebody has to know.
What is the difference?
I know it is.
What could he have been doing that's more important than saving Jewish students in the city he's the mayor of on Passover?
And there's 10,000 things going bad in New York
right
now anyway. There's no reason to go.
No reason to go.
You can't leave.
Give me a break. Then you get a guy like Robert Kraft, who I love. He owns the New England Patriots. You know who he is, not a football fan. He owns the Patriots. They won all those Super Bowls with Bill Belichick as coach, Tom Brady at quarterback, one of the great owners in the history of sports. And you may not know this, but Bob Kraft from the Patriots is Jewish. And guess where he went to school? Columbia. And guess who he is no longer going to support? That's right, Columbia. This is Patriot owner Robert Kraft, courtesy of Sean Hannity. He was on his show last night on Fox News, Lewis, cut number 12.
I never thought I'd see what's going on in America, what's happening right now, and it really pains me to see it. You know, we have our holiday going on now. It goes back to memory of thousands of years ago where negative things were happening, and the same is happening now in this great country that offered so many opportunities to our families who came here as immigrants. And we have to keep it open. We can't have this intimidation that's filtering through all these colleges, and the hate continue to grow and multiply the way it is.
Every time my friend Siggy Flicker from down in Florida comes on the show, he says, hey, folks, hey, stupid, they come for the Jews on Saturday, but all you Christians who for the most part are great people and are supporting us every day, they're coming for you on Sunday. And Robert Kraft made that point on Hannity last night, too. It starts with the Jews, and then it spreads. Cut number 13.
It's very sad to me. And, you know, but look at America. We've done research, and it shows 90% of the people in this country are good people. They just have to be educated, and we can't have them apathetic or misguided. We have to let them know, and they have to stand up and not be silent. It starts with the Jews, but then every group that feels marginalized, whether it be Blacks, Asians, Hispanics, gay people, it'll just really impact the great fabric of this country where people have freedom to operate and go the way they want. And now we have hatred and intimidation taking over. And, you know, I was just thinking when I went to Columbia, it was a place where people listened, were empathetic, had compassion. And now, you know, we have professors who, instead of teaching how to think, that they're trying to tell our young people what they should think. And I think one of the biggest problems that we have to do something about is really tenure in these universities where people can do things and don't have accountability.
There he is, Patriots owner, proud Jew, and former Columbia student, Bob Kraft. Okay, that sets us up for some big guests the next 3 hours. Big guests. We started off with the greatest one of all, my man Curtis Sliwa, before it's all said and done. Brian Kilmeade, maybe actor Michael Rappaport. He was out there with us yesterday. Rudy Giuliani, Michael Goodwin, and Boxing Hall of Fame trainer Teddy Atlas. 3 more hours on this Tuesday morning with me, Sid Rosenberg, and him, Roy Orbison. This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
WABC.
My name is Sid Rosenberg. I am the morning show host, 77 WABC Radio. This idea was born on my radio show at 6 a.m. this morning. First of all, let me thank everybody for coming out here today. It's important for all the press that we see for these people across the street taking over our city. It's important that the pro-Israel, the pro-Jewish voices be heard as well. Especially today, with tonight being the first night of Passover, that's why I thought today is the perfect time to come and hold this conference. We see what's happening right across the street. I see tents in there. I see camps in there. I can't believe in New York City, with such a large and proud Jewish population, that we've allowed this to happen. And people have taken over universities and are out in the streets promoting a group that murdered, tortured, and raped innocent Jewish people on a Saturday morning during Shabbat and a Jewish holiday. Unprovoked murder and rape. And yet we've got people all over this city, right there across the street, that are promoting this as if it's a good thing. So I've got a lot of friends in politics, and these are fine people. So I want to bring them each one by one so they can tell you how they feel today on this important Passover holiday right here across the street from one of our finest institutions that at this point has been taken over by terrorists. Not that these people are. They're terrorists. If you're a pro-terrorist, you're a terrorist.
Yeah, Miami, South Beach, bringing the heat,
Can y'all Bonnie Will Smith, Miami, that's where Mayor Eric Adams was. That was me opening up the rally yesterday, the opening remarks, and man, am I proud of Long Island Congressman Anthony D'Esposito, Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman, Rockland County Congressman Mike Lawler, and my friend, actor Michael Rappaport. And they keep showing Rappaport on Fox News at the top of every hour as one of the lead stories. And there I am standing next to Michael on television, clapping and laughing. He did a great job, and he may join me coming up in about an hour at 8:15 this morning, but no mayor. And I brought this up already once this morning. I'm sure it'll come up again. I don't care what he was doing. He could have been in a room trying to find the cure for cancer. Doesn't matter. On this day, Passover, with his city on fire, and two of his most prestigious colleges, not just his, but anywhere in the country, facing threats and violence in NYU and Columbia, the mayor belonged here, not in, as Will Smith just said, Miami. Now, one of the reasons why our press conference yesterday did so well, to be completely honest, and I give credit when credit is due. Listen, folks, I think I've proven to you over the last 9 months, whether it was the trip to Israel, yelling at the president during the State of the Union, going to all these events and becoming very close with Donald Trump, or doing what I did yesterday. I don't just talk the talk. I walk the walk. I show up. But the guy that does that even more than me is Curtis. And yesterday morning, Curtis was a huge help in getting this thing going, along with his sister, who I think is terrific, Maria. He is the host of the Rip and Read, noon to one, every weekday afternoon, does a great job of hosting overnights all weekend long, and does his best work sitting next to me each and every weekday morning, proudly wearing his number 84 Brooklyn Prep Eagles sweatshirt, the icon, the legend, Mr. Guardian Angel, Curtis Sliwa.
Thank you, Sid, and to my sister Maria, who actually did the introduction for your show and Noam Layden of Alex Trayman, that you have gone back and forth with from Israel, who has been so important in getting out information that others might have sat on, might not have released. This is not a guy who is tentative or cautionary like so many of your people.
No, he's great. And not just him, but to your sister's credit, she's been on two or three times, too, a lady named Carolyn Gluck.
Yes.
Glick, I should say. Glick. But mostly Trayman, and that would happen to be JNS.org. And I compel you, folks, if you want the best information every day on Israel and the Israel-Hamas-Israel-Iran war, you must go to JNS.org. That was a big job out of your sister, Maria.
Absolutely. And we just saw on the Fox News channel, there was Sid beaming with Jewish pride. And who is standing next to you at the microphone and the pulpit that I had words with just a year ago because he chastised me or anybody else? You can't use the term Jew. And remember I said, are you kidding? It's time for all of you to be tough Jews. What are you talking about? Who am I talking about?
Michael Rappaport, and he is one tough Jew. You know, he's been back and forth to Israel now, Curtis.
Yes.
Four or five times. He sits with the hostage families. He spent a lot of time yesterday concentrating more on the hostages in Israel than these low-life scumbags in our streets. But he was all too willing to go out there yesterday. And I'll be honest, with all the folks that were there, some big-name folks, they were most excited to see Mike. He's an important voice for the Jews in this
city. Let me tell you why it's important. He was the never-Trumper. He used to just eviscerate Trump. I mean, use all kinds of foul language in describing President Trump. And he has become a Trumper, tepidly a Trumper.
Tepidly. I mean, he still, if you watch him on Instagram, he still calls President Trump, and I can't stand it. He calls him Dick Stain.
Right, but still.
He goes, but I'm going to vote for Dick Stain.
Right, but still, that's why it's important that people on Fox see that, the transition. But as powerful a statement as you made, I want to juxtaposition it against another group, because you were able to bring Anthony D'Esposito right away, bing, 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 like Ricochet Rabbit at your side.
Yeah.
Congressman Lawler, did you know that while you were having your conference to protect Jewish students, who a rabbi had told them, run home to mommy and daddy, hide under the Castro convertible, they're coming for you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How weak, how soft. But anyway. You had four.
How 1930s, too?
1938. Remember, who said 1938 yesterday?
You did.
There was another person outside the gates that was not permitted in. A Israeli professor in the School of Business.
Shai Davidi.
Who has been very vocal, as Jews have to be, because you cannot depend on Gentiles. Trust me.
No.
History tells you that. If you don't defend yourselves, ain't nobody else going to do it.
Shai Davidi has been a great voice, and he was terrific 2 days ago. And now you're right. He was there yesterday. Ina Vernikov showed up an hour and a half late for the rally, so she missed our rally. She was there with Shai. But what they're doing to Shai is akin to what Mershon is doing to Trump.
Exactly. But he goes to swipe his card. He's a valid professor.
Not anymore.
All of a sudden, the card doesn't work. That's how we know in this business we've been fired.
Right. Don't laugh. Every morning when I go downstairs.
This happened to me one time at the old WABC. I went to swipe my card in, and it didn't work. And they said, you have an hour to clean out your desk and get the hell out of here. Don't show back up. So here's Shai. He's got his card. And who's waiting for him at the gate with all the security? The University of Columbia COO, Kaz Holloway. Kaz Holloway tells him, no, you can't come in. He goes, what do you mean? I can't walk through the lawn area, the, quote, liberated zone. I want to be able to sit down in the liberated zone next to all these people who are saying the most vile things against me as a Jew. I want to be able to. No, you can't.
You can't.
They kept him off the campus.
Yes, I know. Terrible.
If you're a Jew and you stand for Jews, they keep you off the campus. But if you're a self-hating Jew, if you're willing to take a menorah and impale yourself in front of the other Jew haters, welcome, come in. Hey, why don't you apologize to everybody here and say, well, we're only 16 million in the world,
yeah.
And I'm sorry we have all the money. I'm sorry we own all the real estate.
Yeah.
I really am. I want to be like you. Can I convert?
Well, I'll give you a self-hating Jew that, much like Mayor Adams, wasn't there yesterday and hasn't been there at all. And it's not your former partner, Ron Kuby, who's irrelevant. But how about the guy that's probably the most dignified, longest-serving Jewish politician in our country's history, that asshole Chuck Schumer? Where was he?
The Schmuck, the Putz, Chuck E. Cheese, Schumer. Of course he wasn't going to be there, but it was one who should have been there because that was his district.
His district.
12th Congressional District.
I'm going to guess it.
Morningside Heights.
He used to be really fat and stupid.
The Whale.
Now he's just stupid. Jerry Nadler.
Right. Gerald the Whale Nadler. That's his district. 12th Congressional District. Now there were four other Democrats who were in Congress there at the same time you were there with Anthony D'Esposito and Lawler, the Republican Congressman.
Don't forget Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman, who showed up with a yarmulke.
Right, I'm just showing Congress versus Congress.
Yes.
They got a tour of Columbia University. Who were they? Dan Goldman.
No way.
Josh Gottenheimer.
Oh.
Jared Moskowitz.
Oh.
Kathy Manning. All Democrats. They got a tour. They did a press conference. And none of the reporters said, wait, you're all Democrats. I get it, Congressman, but this is not your district. Where's your leader? Where's Jerry Nadler? This is his district. Hey, Jerry, are you hiding under the Seder table? Oh, they're coming for us. I'm not going to go up there. I don't want all the Palestinian supporters, all the Hamas Hezbollah supporters flying the Hezbollah and Hamas flags to see me. That's a weak Jew.
You're right. I got to tell you, though. Before this whole thing started, Justin and I arrived about 11, and I had to do Steve Bannon's War Room podcast. That went great at 11:30. So we had about an hour. And I met with a bunch of these cops, all great people, from Cash Daughtry to Chief Stevenson to Kevin Taylor, all these great cops. And then Chris Boyle showed up. He's Bruce Blakeman's guy in Nassau County and helped make sure Curtis the media stayed. But at one point, Justin and I walked the street, across the street alone. We're on Broadway and about 1:15, maybe between 1:14 and 1:15. You know this, by the way. So we looked inside the gates. We're outside the campus. Look inside the gates, and we see all these massive tents and a boatload of kids with kafirs. We're looking inside. If Palestine existed, which you stupid bastards, there is no Palestine. It doesn't exist. But if it existed, it would look like this. Tents. A whole campus filled with these kids who are basically saying, we love you, Hamas, F you, America, F you, Jews, F you, Israel. Curtis, it's a terrifying vision.
Some of them Jews themselves. Now, let me take Robert Kraft to task as a weak Jew. Robert Kraft went and visited with Putin, remember? Putin said, what's that on your finger? That's his Super Bowl ring. Remember how Putin took the ring? And Kraft said, hey, give me that ring back. He said, nah.
I do.
You see, that's been the history of Jews. He allowed Putin to steal that ring right from his fingers because he was weak. And then yesterday on Hannity, he said, well, you know, if this happens to us, it happens to everyone else. No, it doesn't. If only they were educated. Who's more educated than students at Columbia University or NYU? Huh? They're the top echelon of students who've done well on SAT. They're educated, but they hate Jews. It has nothing to do with education.
Well, you can stop. You're just talking about New York schools. What about Harvard? What about Yale? We're not talking about, no disrespect, I went to Kingsborough. We're not talking about Kingsborough Community
College.
We're not talking about Brooklyn College.
No, let's talk about Kingsborough. They will not honor you because you're a Jew.
I know, but...
Will not honor you in a Jewish neighborhood, Manhattan Beach, because you are a Jew.
That's true. Jeff Lacks tells me that all the time. But to your point, you're talking about Harvard, Yale, Columbia, NYU... Good luck finding four better academic institutions than
look,
those.
Let's look at their endowments, okay? Columbia University, $16 billion of endowments. I've done the deep dive. Mostly Jewish money. Let's look at NYU, $8 billion of an endowment. Mostly Jewish money. Columbia University buys up property in Morningside Heights, takes it off the property tax rolls because it's nonprofit. NYU, the same thing. They bought up all of Greenwich Village, taking all that property off the property tax rolls, which is how we subsidize all these social services. Tax them. You want to make them pay for this? Tax them the normal rate. What is this nonprofit status? Nonprofit to allow anti-Semitism to exist on your campus? Really? Pull their nonprofit status if they don't rein in their anti-Semites. And many of them are self-hating Jews. So all you Jews who want to contribute to the endowments of these schools, oh, my mother and father, my Zeddy and Booby would be so proud of me. No, they won't. Yeah.
Well, that's part of the segment I did with Steve Bannon yesterday. And he said it. He said, Sid, a lot of those same kids that are being terrorized right now, that I was there for yesterday, those are some of the same kids that walk up and down the city streets in the summer of 2020. Backing George Floyd and BLM. A lot
same
of them,
ones.
Yes,
same ones.
Same ones. A lot of their parents are liberal Jews who only vote Democrat. How ironic is it that who shows up to save the day? Not Chuck Schumer, not Jerry Nadler, but a quote-unquote conservative morning radio Republican talk show host, Sid Rosenberg. All those Jewish mothers and fathers out there that vote Democrat and they're liberals and their kids are liberals and they were out there in the summer of 2020 telling us how great George Floyd was. How do you feel right now? Sid was out there yesterday protecting your kids.
And let me give credit where credit is due. standing side by side with you, one hell of a proud Jew, even learning Hebrew, went to with you to Israel. He's been there many times. Justin Ehrlich. Justin Ehrlich was magnificent. You couldn't come on the Rip and Read. I didn't need you, Sid. To be honest with you, Justin nailed it. He was able to describe everything going on. He was passionate. He was emotional, but he was descriptive. And he gave all the facts. Boy, you got one great executive producer. I beat hell out of him every morning. Yeah,
but you you made it possible for him to come. He was excited about it. Look, he is...
tough Jew.
He is. And he had a nice Passover Seder with his mom and dad last night. He's going back to Israel July.
Did he go up to Chappaqua?
He doesn't live there anymore.
Oh, my God.
They don't live there anymore.
Thank God.
They live 15 minutes away, though, as bad.
Now, speaking of Chappaqua, right, that's Westchester County. You would think the press, many of them well-educated. I'm a high school dropout, right? I'm wearing my Brooklyn Prep football jersey, number 84, but I'm a dropout. Who is the one member of Team Biden who went to Columbia University, who grew up in Yonkers, who is a Jew? Both parents are Jews. You never find out about it. Occasionally, he'll play the guitar to show that he's hip and happy. I'm like Steven Tyler, who came out of Roosevelt High School there in Yonkers. His name is Anthony Blinken.
Secretary of State.
Secretary most
traitor. He's a traitor and anti-Israel.
How come nobody's asking him, what do you think about your alumni? Does it take that much for reporters to do a little research, to connect the dots, and say this guy speaks on behalf of the United States all over the world? He's a Columbia graduate. He grew up in Yonkers. Both of his parents are Jews. He likes to play the guitar like Steven Tyler, who came out of Yonkers. Look, I could do Steven Tyler, Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Ask him the freaking question. What do you think of the school that you went to? Barack Obama. What do you think of the school you went to for 2 years, and you admit in your own memoir all you did each day was go back to your apartment and smoke bongs? That's right, in his own words. He said, hey, I was in a drug-induced psychosis for 2 years until I left Columbia and went to Harvard, and all of a sudden I discovered myself. So, hey, media, do your job. Blinken, Obama, how come we haven't heard them comment? What, you lost their phone number? What, they won't invite you to their cocktail and, their parties with all the trendoids, freakazoids, jet setters? 1938, you heard it first here yesterday. And Bob Kraft, what you said is not true. Oh, if they come for us, they'll come for everyone else. No, no, they won't come for blacks anymore, or Hispanics, or gays, or lesbians, or transgenders, or polyamorous, or whatever they identify themselves to be. Bob Kraft, you were a wuss when Putin took your Super Bowl ring and you cried, oh, he took my ring. If you're a student of history, no matter who is in the eye of the storm, one thing you can be assured, they always come for the Jews. All 16 million of you, they claim you own all the real estate and you have all the money. And you've heard it over and over and over and over again. Man up! Tough Jews fight back! You can't depend on the Gentiles. You never could, and you never will be able to. Because you gotta have cheese for the summer house, peace on Southeast. Water so clear, you can see to the bottom. $100,000 cars, everybody got them. Ain't no surprise in the club to see Sly Stallone. Miami, my second home. Miami, the same when the heat is on. All night on the beach till the break is gone. Welcome to Miami. Bienvenido a Miami. Bouncing in the club with the heat.
If you had an accident, trust Gabo Law, personal injury and medical malpractice attorneys with decades of experience who will provide the attention you deserve and deliver the best possible results in the shortest amount of time. Gabo Law has recovered millions for their clients, and they will be able to help you. But don't take our word for it. Read their 5-star reviews from former clients on Google, Avvo, and Facebook. Call Gabo Law today, 800-560-0214 for a free consultation. Or email them at info@gabolaw.com. That's GABOLaw.com. Gabo Law, where winning is no accident.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
We will continue to fight that good fight. Ladies and gentlemen, this is truly an attack on democracy. It's an attack on our values. When we hear death to Israel, death to America, it's a threat to all of us. This is not a political thing. It's not a Republican thing. It's not a Democrat thing. It's the right thing to stand behind Israel, stand behind its people, and do the right thing.
I will believe you if you say it's true.
That's my guy, Congressman Anthony D'Esposito out of Long Island. Man, he came up big for me yesterday. I say it again. This idea was kind of born on a phone call between me and Rappaport on Sunday. I went on the air yesterday and kind of hinted at possibly going up to Columbia University. And then my first guest yesterday was D'Esposito at 6:45 a.m. He's like, I'm there. I'm going with you. So I knew I had Rapp. I knew I had Anthony. I knew I had a rally. And then not long after, Anthony said he was coming. Bruce Blakeman said the same. Mike Waller said the same. And next thing you know, the rally was born. And everybody spoke, and they were all great. All of them. D'Esposito, Waller, Blakeman, Rappaport, he's been everywhere. I mean, I'm sitting in the diner last night, yesterday afternoon, I should say. And I see the news come on. And, you know, it's day five of the Donald Trump hush money trial. Day five, big deal. David Pecker is about to take the stand from the National Enquirer. These are the opening statements, opening arguments. We're done with jury selection. Big deal. Guess what? None of the news started with it. They started with Rappaport on the mic with me standing next to him across the street from Columbia University. And throughout the night, whether it was local network news or Fox News, that was the big story. Now, it changed later last night because a lot of these animals, and that's what they are, they're animals, they got violent. Sorry, AOC, they're not peaceful, you dumb biatch. They're animals. Resulted in 150 arrests at NYU last night. Columbia, there was violence too. Yale and Harvard. Harvard, in fact, has now shut down Harvard Square until Friday. Hard to believe that AOC is really that stupid and gets so much airtime. I mean, what do you mean these are peaceful people? When you start ending up with 100 arrests, 150 arrests, which is almost every day now, every day, that's not a peaceful protest, you idiot. But that didn't stop AOC, Earth Day yesterday, her and Biden, from talking about these peaceful protesters. And you ready for this? How proud she is. AOC is proud of the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, pro-murder protesters. AOC, cut five.
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests.
Leadership.
This is like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
You are grotesque. You really are. The squad. Ilhan Omar's daughter shows up after she was arrested, and deservedly so. And they start clapping and hugging and kissing and crying. Like, God rest his soul, Pat Kilman, who was killed 20 years ago yesterday. Like, he just returned home. Ilhan Omar's daughter. She's garbage. Garbage. They're all garbage pails. All of them. Tlaib, Omar, AOC, reprobates. Anti-American, anti-Israel, anti-humanity, just absolute garbage. And I'm going to say this and repeat something my wife Danielle said, who's not just beautiful, but really smart. And thank you to Danielle for showing up there yesterday, too. Believe me, that was a big deal. Thank you, Danielle. Going back to the discussion about Jerry Nadler and Chuck Schumer, Jewish by DNA, is not the same as embracing your Jewish identity. Whether you're Bernie Sanders, Ron Kuby, Jerry Nadler, Chuck Schumer, you're Jews by name. Donald Trump talks about fake news. You're fake Jews. We have no use for you. I didn't want Chuck Schumer to show up yesterday. I didn't want the mayor to show up yesterday. Because if it's not in your heart, I don't need you there. I don't need you. Say what you want about Rappaport. Well, he says horrible things about Trump. He did. And I'm not happy about it. But in this case, what we were there for yesterday, it is in his heart. He cares. D'Esposito cares. Lawler cares. Blakeman cares. Tom Sullivan showed up late yesterday because of traffic. He was at a funeral, but he cares. He's running for office against that another horrible lady, Stacey Amato, who stole the election from Sullivan last time around. He cares. I want to surround myself with people that care. It's not about money. It's not about fame. It's not about hits on Instagram. Do you care? I talk the talk. I walk the walk. Say what you want about me. Hate my guts. I don't care. Because I do care about what's important. I talk the talk. I walk the walk. I care. And I know when you care. And when you care, I care. And you belong standing right next to me.
Friends in the morning.
77 WABC.
Everybody's going on and on about Alec Baldwin and Ilhan Omar's daughter because, well, they're big names. I get it. The folks that everybody should be talking about today are, let's start right here, Sid Rosenberg, Long Island Congressman Anthony D'Esposito, Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman, Rockland County Congressman Mike Lawler, and actor Michael Rappaport. Because what we did yesterday on the day of Passover, I thought was so important for this city. All we hear about is the pro-Palestinians, the pro-Hamas. You very rarely, if ever, hear about the pro-Israel, pro-Jewish folks. And we decided literally on this radio show yesterday, on the day of Passover, to take this conference right across the street from Columbia University, and we made it happen. And it was big. Every network was there. Lots of folks, fans of this show, showed up there. And I think we got our message across. Doesn't mean anything. There were still 150 arrests later last night. Shafiq is still the president of the university. Nothing changes, but it won't change unless we keep talking. And a guy that keeps talking every day on this station right after me at 10 o'clock does an amazing job on Fox News, Fox and Friends every morning, his own great show, One Nation, 9 p.m. on Saturday nights, is my good buddy, Brian Kilmeade. Good Tuesday morning, Brian.
Sid, great job yesterday. You know, it was good to see you guys out there. I guess Elise Stefanik put out a press release, but you guys are actually there calling for the president to resign, right?
100% calling for her to resign and calling for, you know, folks in these cities and these universities to take back their schools. If that means, like Robert Kraft said from the Patriots, stop the Jewish donations. If that means that the police go in there and get a little more physical. I mean, the truth is that this idea was born, Brian, on Sunday. Michael Rappaport, the actor, called me and said, hey, let's go down to Columbia and start roughing up some of these people. He wasn't kidding. That's where the idea was born, but that's the truth, is that we're sick and tired of these people, these animals, being able to do what they want, and people like Mayor Eric Adams going, hey, it's a private university. There's nothing I can do. That's nonsense.
Well, the cops say they got to be invited in unless they hear of a crime going on inside, which they could easily say, you know, I see all these people together and I got a complaint. So all they need is one complaint. They can go in. But if you are a real president, you do what the NYU did yesterday. They got totally out of control. So they called in the NYPD right away. It was way too late. It was hard. These idiots, these professors locked arms in front of the students, many of which weren't even students. They just were activists who came down there and infiltrated. But uptown, this president just said, okay, it's a little dangerous for Jewish students. So I'm going to say, go to Zoom class. Take all your classes on Zoom. Today it's hybrid. And she's begging to talk to the protesters. How pathetic is that? I don't want to hear what they have to say. There's right and there's wrong. There's a way to protest. That's not the way to do it. You've taken over campus at a time in which you should be blitzing for finals week, getting ready for graduation, so be it the case. And instead, you decide, this is a movement for me. Take America's ally, the democracy in the Middle East, that we helped birth that nation 70 years ago, and you decide you want to not only be for ceasefire. That has morphed into pro-Palestinian, which has morphed into pro-Hamas. Now we want to eliminate Israel and we want to divest from Israel as a college, or else they're not going to stop their sitting. Excuse me. Pick any college you want. If you don't like where they invest, you don't go. And you don't have to attend. There's plenty of colleges out there. And as Dana Perino brought up last night on The Five with me, she says, if I'm one of these other colleges on the outside of New York City, I'm actually going there recruiting. And I'm saying to this Jewish student, you come up to us. You got a scholarship the first year. And, you know, you don't need this. I tell you the truth, I'd be embarrassed if I graduated with Columbia University on my resume.
Yep.
And I'm telling you right now, Wall Street's not going to hire me. They don't want any of these problems. They don't want people that are going to spit in the face of management and go out for their political views and put that over what the objective should be, whether it's investing or whether it's insurance. I wouldn't want any of these people. And, you know, Ackerman has brought that up, too. It's like all these Ivy League schools giving me their resume. Forget it. Don't even bother.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And then, of course, you've got the president of the United States, that scumbag Joe Biden, complaining yesterday there's not enough empathy for the Palestinians. And then you've got AOC, no surprise here, the leader of the squad, who's out there during Earth Day yesterday. What a waste of time that is. During Earth Day yesterday, at a microphone, actually complimenting these anti-Israel Palestinian scumbags for being peaceful. Is she not watching what's going on?
She's for it. She loves it. The whole squad, Jamal Bowman, loves it. Where is Senator Chuck Schumer? Invisible. The most powerful Jewish American to ever ascend to majority leader of Senate. I mean, you could say it's the most powerful position of any political figure in American history, Jewish American history. He is invisible in the state he represents. He should be out there saying, okay, what Fetterman's doing. Fetterman has no interest in this. He's just trying to do the right thing, of all things. I cannot believe I'm singing his praises. But it's true.
Yep, it is true.
I mean, just doing the right thing. He's like, you know what? Mitt Romney should be president of Harvard. He goes, this woman's got to be fired. What's going on? He takes on activists every day in walking to his office, evidently. Reporters have told me they harass him and harangue him nonstop. And also, Sid, I give you thorough credit for going down there. I mean, you've already worked 8 hours by the time you're done. Instead of going home or working out, you decide I'm going downtown, and you didn't know what the hell could happen. You're not traveling around with six bodyguards. So, and these people have no values or ethics, and a lot of them aren't even students. They're just to create havoc. I don't think a lot of them even belong in this country. That's my hunch. But I also give Alec Baldwin, guys, watch this video. Whatever you think, Alec Baldwin. This happens to people like me or you, and it could be happening today. These people come up and they harass you. They say, Alec, he goes, say something. You're pro-Palestinian. Say something. Condemn Israel and I'll leave you alone. Condemn Israel, I'll leave you alone. They put the camera in her face. They keep yelling at him. And he has to call the cops. The guy doesn't respond. So he just wipes the phone out of his hand. I'm telling you, we know about his volcanic temper. But this happens. And what do you want to do in this age of the phone? You can't act like a human being because you're a public figure, but once in a while, you got to act like a human being.
No, I love what Alec Baldwin did, too. I commend him on that. You know, it's like, listen, a lot of people disagree with Michael Rappaport's politics. He hates Trump. He doesn't hate Trump anymore, by the way. He's going to vote for Donald Trump. He still calls him nasty names.
You think so?
I think he will, yes. But I was with Michael Rappaport all day yesterday. I invited Michael there yesterday. Michael got a lot of news, a lot of play yesterday. He loves Israel. He's a great Jewish male. And I'm glad he showed up, much like Alec Baldwin. People don't love him, but he was important yesterday. But I want to bring this to the mayor. I brought him up earlier during this conversation. You know, when they talk about the illegal crisis, he says, hey, nothing I can do. That's your national government. When we talk about, for example, this pro-Palestinian deal, hey, nothing I can do, that is a private university. When we talk about the squatters, he says, well, nothing I can do, it's on the books. When we talk about bail reform, he says, well, nothing I can do, that's on Heasty and Stewart Cousins. So my question to you is, outside of wearing nice suits and holding nonsense press conferences, every major issue this city has seen in the last year and a half, Mayor Eric Adams has the same answer. Basically, there's nothing I can do. Okay, fine. Then go home.
I hear you. I mean, he goes halfway. I love his statement yesterday. You know, I love what he said on
Hold on. His statement yesterday. Wait a second. You just gave
me
credit.
No, not yesterday, Sunday.
Right. You just got some stupid tweet. You just gave me credit for showing up at Columbia University, and I appreciate that. He should have been there. Instead, he's in Miami. How do you go to Miami? It's day one of Passover, one of the most important Jewish holidays of the year, and you've got two universities in New York City under siege. Don't tell me about a stupid tweet he sent out on Sunday. He should have been standing next to me and the rest of those guys yesterday afternoon.
Absolutely. But I would say that he's gone farther than de Blasio. He goes halfway and then he stops. We have the governor out there saying she refuses to call the National Guard, says the right things, but doesn't do what she should be doing. But she goes halfway. As she goes halfway and saying, you know, with this anti-Semitism can't stand, but then she doesn't go the rest of the way and pull out the National Guard and demand an end to the sit-in. Because why? Because most of those people are her voters. But I wouldn't care. You just got to do the right thing once in a while. So, you know, Eric Adams, to tell you the truth, I didn't even know he was in Miami.
Yeah, he was in Miami for some climate control. I don't even know what the reason was, but it was some ridiculous convention. You don't leave this city. Yeah, Earth Day, some Earth Day nonsense, yes.
Yeah, well, I hear you on that. I can't, you know, it's tough for you to say that because he's your, you know, he's a guy you go to dinner with, you know. So that for you to say that, I think it might resonate with him. Call him in Miami.
Just so you know, I don't go to dinner with him anymore. I basically lost it. I'm going back about 2 months ago now. I am very, very critical of the mayor. I think he's doing a terrible job. I don't want to hear about de Blasio anymore. That's not a bar that's good enough for me. Well, he's better than de Blasio. That's not good enough for me. He needed to be much better than de Blasio, and he's really not. So the dinners have stopped. The conversations have stopped. He has, in my opinion, a colossal disappointment. And while he's in Miami having a good time, my friend who wants to win the presidency is sitting in a courtroom getting yelled at by some idiot judge.
It was unbelievable yesterday. And what I do is, you know, this if you should have her on, we have Kupek on all the time. Who used to work for William Barr. She's a fantastic attorney and she was in the overflow room. And, you know, you and I can't maybe you can go to the overflow room, but I do the radio show. You should probably go there. Yeah. I believe we can get in there. And then she said that she left so aggravated because essentially she says there's no case here. And they said because, you know, they have David Pecker on there. They're because of a subpoena and maybe some type of deal that was cut behind the scenes on some illegal activity might have done unrelated to Donald Trump. But he's there testifying against Trump. They're trying to set up that he had some scheme to win an election. Know what? They didn't have a scheme. They said him, Michael Cohen, and Donald Trump said, listen, as you win this thing, I'll watch your back should anything pop up. But then they say, well, Donald Trump's going to have a pushback on that, number one. Number two is Michael Cohen's going to be the other witness there, then number three. And the other thing is they talk about different problems that people have, and we've gone over this, have to have an NDA is no problem. You and I go into business together. You run for office. We don't like the way the business ended. Hey, Brian, don't come out against me. You work on an NDA with me, whether it's a financial remuneration or we promise not to defame each other. There's nothing illegal. That is standard. Dave McCormick has got a million businesses. He's running for Senate in Pennsylvania. I'm sure he's got a ton of NDAs. When you do major businesses, sometimes it goes south. Sometimes people are jealous of you. You got to handle this stuff. I'm just making that up because he's in such high finance. If Jamie Dimon was going to run, I'm sure there's a lot of shareholders that aren't happy with everyone his investments. So when Donald Trump does an NDA with McDougal or Stormy Daniels, it's not a big deal because you say, listen, I got these accusers. I don't even know if they're not telling the truth. I'm just going to do an NDA. Go away. You're trying to get money out of me? Go away. I need this to end. I'm a public figure. So David Pecker evidently engineered some of that stuff with him. So what? Where's the illegal activity? And if you entered it in a personal account instead of a campaign account, that is a misdemeanor and a fine. What about Hillary Clinton? She goes to deal with Mark Elias, pays out of campaign funds to start Crossfire Hurricane, which is the Russian hoax. She pays a fine for that because she used campaign financing to finance a private investigation that ended up hurting our country for the next 3 years and almost destroying the Trump presidency. And she gets fined. And now we're witnessing this president being dragged through the mud on something that happened in 2015 that really an incident took place in 2009. So, or didn't take place. And now in 2024, there is no way this belongs in court.
Hard to argue anything you just said. In fact, you just nailed all of it, Brian. That's an excellent job, really excellent job. And bringing up Hillary Clinton, of course, you see the double standard. If it's a Democrat using campaign funds, it's okay. Anything Donald Trump does is not okay. Every judge, from Kaplan to Engoron to this scumbag, Mershon, they're all no good. But you are great, whether it's right after me, 10 o'clock this morning, or, of course, Fox and Friends and One Nation, 9 p.m. Saturday nights on Fox News. You are the man, Brian Kilmeade. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks so much. Listen, don't forget to listen to the show right after you, Sid. We had Ian Pryor to break this down, Cash Patel inside the Trump camp, and Will Cain, who's endlessly sexy. Not as sexy as you, but as two handsome men of radio now. Now, Will's got a radio show.
I love Will. Actually, the last time I did Jesse Waters' show, Will Cain was filling in on Fox News. Brian, I love you, man. Really, you are terrific. Radio, TV, writing books, whatever you do. Thank you so much. And you ready for this? Hey, Brian. Stay within yourself.
Oh, you're the best. You just made my day. You made my day. Spread the word. Thanks so much.
All right, man. Thank you. The great Brian Kilmeade, folks. And he is coming up right after me at 10 o'clock this morning. We'll take a short break. Big 7 o'clock hour about to come your way, including the great Curtis Sliwa coming up next. I'll talk to you shortly.
Sid and Friends in the Morning.
For my friends.
77 WABC.
My name is Sid Rosenberg. I am the morning show host, 77 WABC Radio. This idea was born on my radio show at 6 a.m. this morning. First of all, let me thank everybody for coming out here today. It's important for
for all the press that we see for these people across the street taking over our city, it's important that the pro-Israel, the pro-Jewish voices be heard as well, especially today, with tonight being the first night of Passover. That's why I thought today is the perfect time to come and hold this conference. We see what's happening right across the street. I see tents in there. I see camps in there. I can't believe in New York City, with such a large and proud Jewish population, that we've allowed this to happen. And people have taken over universities and are out in the streets promoting a group that murdered, tortured, and raped innocent Jewish people on a Saturday morning during Shabbat and a Jewish holiday. Unprovoked murder and rape. And yet we've got people all over this city, right there across the street, that are promoting this as if it's a good thing. So I've got a lot of friends in politics, and these are fine people. So I want to bring up each one by one so they can tell you how they feel today on this important Passover holiday right here across the street from one of our finest institutions that at this point has been taken over by terrorists. Not that these people are. They're terrorists. If you're a pro-terrorist, you're a terrorist.
A Monday warrior, mean strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean cry.
Yesterday afternoon, right there across the street, Columbia University, 116th Street and Broadway, made our way there to speak out on behalf of the Jewish students, to protect the Jewish students at Columbia. Before it was said and done, you had me, you had Long Island Congressman Anthony D'Esposito, Rockland County Congressman Mike Lawler, Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman, and the famous actor Michael Rappaport. And we were there for a couple of reasons. First of all, yes, Brian Kilmeade asked me moments ago, did we ask for the president of Columbia's resignation? You bet your ass we did. Shafiq has to go. She's no better than Gay was at Harvard, who still is getting paid nearly $1 million. She's no better than the woman they ousted who is also still getting paid at Pennsylvania, or the woman that remains in charge at MIT. She's the same. They're all embarrassing. Worse than embarrassing, they're allowing hate on their campuses. So, yes, Shafiq needs to resign today or be removed. We all ask for that. But there's a bigger story at hand here, and that is this rapid deterioration of our city, our state, our country, our society. When you've got a president of the United States who can't go out there and just criticize the Palestinians, I'm going to say this again for you folks that think you know what you're talking about, but you don't. Hamas, all they are progressive Palestinians. Not every Palestinian is Hamas, but every Hamas is Palestinian. 89% of the time, 89% the Palestinians vote with Hamas. And don't tell me it's because they're scared, they threaten to kill them. when the hostages were being taken back into Gaza on motorcycles and cars and all kinds of vehicles. Palestinians, not Hamas, were slapping the girls across the face as they drove by. Little kids were dancing in the street and eating candy, celebrating this horrific day for Israelis. So excuse me for not being overly sympathetic to the Palestinians. But clearly I'm not alone, because if they were such lovable, great people, Egypt would take them in a heartbeat. They don't want them. Jordan would take them in a heartbeat. They don't want them. Saudi Arabia would take them in a heartbeat. They don't want them. Nobody in the Middle East, nobody wants these people. And you've got these kids, adults, some hired by people like George Soros making money, others just stupid kids wearing their garb, kafirs, terrorizing innocent kids at universities in this city and all over the country in the name of murder. In the name of murder. And you've got a president who yesterday said, and I quote, "We lack empathy for the Palestinians." Are you nuts? Empathy for the Palestinians? Did we go into the neighborhood at 8 o'clock, or at 6 o'clock, excuse me, on a Shabbat holiday Saturday morning and rape their daughters? Carve their kids' eyes out? Murder children in front of their parents and parents in front of children? Take back 140 hostages. I think they're all dead. Maybe there's a couple left. Rape these girls day in and day out. Did we do that? We didn't do that. Don't equate the Israelis, the Jews, with Palestinians and Hamas. Don't do it. Not here. You want to go out there and you want to feel badly, the kids, and they don't deserve it. Let me say this. At 7 years old, seven. They are taught to hate Jews. For a Jew, you know what a mitzvah is? A mitzvah is walk a blind person across the street. Tell somebody who's having a rough day, "I love you, I'm here for you." You know what a mitzvah is for a Palestinian, not just Hamas, a seven-year-old Palestinian? The mitzvah is kill a Jew. That's what they're taught. It's not up for debate. This is a fact. So their innocent kids remain innocent till about the age of five. And then they become animals. There's a lot of women and children in jails, in prisons in Israel because they are terrorists. And these are the people in this country defending them and taking over our universities, and our public officials don't do anything about it. Nothing. Handcuffed. Private university can do nothing. Now, if the university calls the police, then we'll show up. Oh, that's nice. So Yale called the cops, so they're there. But Shafiq and Columbia, they don't call the cops. So when you peek inside the gates, like me and Justin Ellick did yesterday, what do you see? Tents. Tent after tent after tent. All these kids dressed like Palestinians. Yes, like Palestinians. Not Hamas. They're not wearing military outfits. They're dressed like Palestinians. Tons of them. Even outside the gates. When we walked from the train station, 110th Street, to 116th Street. First getting there with Ellick, and then walking back with Ellick, my beautiful wife Danielle, and Officer Frank Ciccone. They're walking the streets. They're walking the streets. I walked onto the train, the one train, on 110th, and I got a stare from some girl wearing a kafir, like I was the rapist, I was the murderer. You saw it, Ellick. She gave me the nastiest look you'll ever see. Why? Because I was wearing an End Jew Hatred pin and my Israeli dog tag. And you've got a president who's worried about the empathy for Palestinians. You've got a congresswoman who talked yesterday about how proud she is of these Palestinian protesters because of their peaceful demonstrations when hundreds and hundreds and hundreds are being arrested at universities all over this country every goddamn day. This is America. I've got a mayor who time and time again beats his chest and tells me how great he's doing. I walked on the Upper West Side yesterday. It's embarrassing. It's disgraceful. It's disgusting. That's not the only part of the city or the only borough. I got illegals 2 miles away from me, ready to terrorize all the females in my community coming up this summer. Every day somebody gets murdered in the Bronx. What great job. I've got a governor who sits up in Buffalo or Albany, and all she cares about is whether the Bills win a football game on a Sunday. I've got New York City council members that put the R in racist. All of them. Adrian Adams, Jemani Williams. Disgusting people. Justin Brennan. He's not black, but he's garbage too. Garbage. And yet, who's sitting in a courtroom again today for the sixth time in the last 7 weekdays? President Trump. You may hate his tweets. You may think he's a bully. But what intelligent person can make an argument that right now, right outside these Third Avenue windows, there's a good chance somebody is walking right now that's got at least 10 prior arrests. And some of those, violent crimes. Kids and adults walking up and down the streets of this city asking for death to America and death to the Jews. Right out in the open. And Donald Trump is in court because some Democratic pussy judge doesn't like him? This is America. This is our city. These are very sad times. You guys don't get it. I know that somebody came on the other day, maybe Idala, and said, you know, it's funny. Seems like every election we say that's the most important election. And maybe he's right. Maybe we did say it when it was Trump versus Clinton or Obama versus Romney. Or who knows? Reagan versus Carter. This is the one, Artie. This is the one. There's nowhere else to go. We have nowhere else to go. This city, this state, this country, as I said yesterday, we're pathetic. We're not thriving. We're dying. We're dying.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
People call me the scandalizer. The world was my appetizer. I turned games into fertilizer. King of the New York street. I throw cars like a window pane. For breakfast I eat nails and chains. To my kingdom I proclaim. King of the New York street. You walked all the same.
Michael Rappaport, Hall of Fame boxing trainer Teddy Atlas, and the great New York Post columnist Michael Goodwin still to come. Rich Lowry checks in. Quote, this is America. This is our city. End quote. A-plus riff just now. So anytime the editor of the National Review, and yet one of his guys there yesterday who did a great story, lead story, not review yesterday, us and our rally from a kid named Jack Crow. Anytime Rich Lowry says, great job, great riff, that's not a small thing. That's a big deal. There he is with that great laugh. Did we decide yet who's got the more infectious laugh, Lowry or Judge Napolitano? It's close.
Oh, the judge.
The judge?
We got to get his.
we'll get his on Friday. Yeah. I mean, he lasted everything. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, he actually falls right away from the console. And his head spins a little bit.
And it doesn't take much. You can say, fart.
No, really. But it's so over the top. It seems like he's faking it, but he's not.
He's not faking it. No, he's not faking it. Yeah.
Because I'm here with the king of the Jews. On his birthday.
You know, I have to say that initially, talking about the king of the Jews, initially when Curtis dubbed me King David II, I was a little uncomfortable. Stop laughing, Lewis. I see you smiling. I was. But then I went to Israel, and I really did become that guy. Right. And now, after what we did yesterday, I really am that guy.
Yeah.
So I'm not uncomfortable anymore. Although Rappaport is going to join me next, has been tremendous. He's gone back and forth to Israel like four times with the hostage families. By the way, you know, last week, Time Magazine came out with their 100 most influential people. And Rachel Goldberg, who's been on this show two or three times, she was on for 30 minutes when we were live in Jerusalem. She loved me. She's a great lady. Her son, Hirsch, was taken hostage. She's on that list. Boy, what a horrible way to make any list. Could you imagine your son, his arm gets blown off, he's taken hostage by Hamas. They haven't seen or heard from him since he texted, I'm sorry, I love you, that Saturday morning. And now you're on a list of influential people. No thanks. I mean, usually you make those lists and you can't wait to tell everybody. No thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, she's done a great job advocating and speaking on behalf of all the hostage families.
Well, and that's why she probably agreed to be on the list.
Yeah, I guess.
You know,
she had to agree to be on it?
Well, no,
they just
agree,
pick you.
But no, but, you know, you got to take her picture. They
no, I know. And she did make a statement which said just that, Justin, which is, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to speak for all these other families, but
Right. Just
a horrible way to make the hunt. It's terrible.
Course, yeah.
And we've heard nothing. You know, Rappaport did a very good job yesterday at that rally of mentioning the hostages. Mm-hmm. In fact, most of his speech, he talked about the hostages. None of us did, because we were more concerned, obviously, with Colombia, the pro-Palestinians, the president's resignation. And to Lawler and D'Esposito's credit, now coming up with bills with some legislature that is going to stop some of this madness. But to Rapp's credit, he did bring up the hustlers a couple of times.
Entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
I never, ever, ever thought that I would even think to need to be or have to be speaking about what's going on right over here in New York City, if this was a group of people screaming against tall people, short people, black people, Spanish people, Asian people, people with big noses, big feet, little noses, this would be stopped ASAP. This is not the New York way. This is an embarrassment to New York City.
That's right.
This is an embarrassment to the city of New York. It is, this is a stain that historically, it will go down in history as an embarrassing time to New York.
Oh, there he is, my good buddy, the great actor Michael Rapaport at our rally yesterday. Once again, can't say enough about the job Congressman Anthony D'Esposito did out of Long Island. Really helped put this thing together. It was born Sunday between Rap and me, and then D'Esposito jumped in, and Mike Lawler showed up, Republican congressman out of Rockland County, Bruce Blakeman, the Nassau County executive, me, Anthony Rapp, a lot of you listeners proudly screaming, "I'm Yisrael Chai, I'm Yisrael Chai," waving your Israeli flags. And I think we did a very good job yesterday. So here he is, though, the star. In fact, last night, I told you this earlier, the local 6 o'clock news, every day they start with Trump, every day. And they should. Whether you like him or not, and I think Rapp is coming along, he is being treated so unfairly and has been in all these cases by these low-life Democrat judges who just don't like him. This is not the way the justice system works. He did nothing wrong here. This is nonsense. Every night they start the news off with Trump. Not last night. Last night, the local 6 o'clock news had Michael Rapaport, me standing next to him with Rapp yelling at this rally. That's why it was so important to have Michael there, because truth is, he's a big star, beloved by millions, and he came up big again yesterday. Listen, he's gone back and forth to Israel 3 or 4 times since October the 7th. He's been a tremendous voice for us. But, he's still working. He's got some big shows coming up at Mohegan Sun up in Uncasville, Connecticut this weekend. We'll get all that info and more. Here he is, my friend Michael Rapaport. Mike, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, Sid. Thanks for having me. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. I think yesterday was a very, very important. I mean, look, Shafiq is still the president at Columbia. There were still 150 arrests outside of NYU last night. These kids, these animals are still rampaging in the streets as we talk this morning. But with all that said, I still think what we did yesterday, and specifically you, was very important. So congratulations.
You know, honestly, Sid, there's no reason to congratulate me by any means or congratulate you or anybody. You know, if anything, it's more you, you know, getting it together. For me, to be totally honest, what's going on is so blatantly anti-Jewish, anti-human, and anti-New York City and anti-American. Like I said yesterday, if there was any other group of people, I don't care if it was LGBTQ, I don't care if it was fat people, I don't care if it was tall people, I don't care if it was people with learning disabilities, mental issues, any other group of
people. What about black people? Look what we experienced in the summer of 2020.
People, I don't care what kind of people. It could be people with Any single kind of people were being screamed at and yelled at. This would have been taken care of the day of, literally the day of. One of those, you know, videos now, and I hate to say iconic, one of those videos of these pigs, these scumbags, and we're on the radio, don't worry, I got you, these losers, these disenfranchised little participation trophy punks. One of the videos that they, you know, that they were screaming and yelling at over the weekend is Hamas, Hamas, make us proud, burn Tel Aviv to the ground. If they said Hamas, Hamas, make us proud, burn Christopher Street to the ground, or Hamas, Hamas, make us proud, burn Harlem or burn Chinatown to the ground. This would be done. Those people would be arrested. They'd be on FBI watch list. Like, you want to protest, fine. You want to say free Palestine, fine. But when you start threatening and you start inciting and Zionists can't come on campus and all this stuff, this is like a no-brainer. And I don't want to go down the political rabbit hole with it, but it is political. You know, I just want to say, you know, Mayor Adams, if don't show up to another synagogue, another, you know, Friday night and give, you know, a speech, and don't go to the Passover things, and don't mention Jewish people if you're not dealing with this and dealing with it hard and effectively ASAP. It's so not the New York way to let this go on. And yesterday, afterwards, when I was, you know, leaving you, and it was a beautiful day, and we're on the Upper West Side, 116th Broadway, I felt embarrassed as a Jewish person that we, all of us that were there, are even having to say this in 2024. Like, it's beneath people, let alone New York City people, let alone Jews of Manhattan, let alone anybody. But I, as a Jewish man, I felt embarrassed that this is what it's come to. It's not right. It's not okay. And you know, I just think of New York, and I think of, like, it's just not the New York way. If this was going on post 9/11, those kids would be getting the crap beaten out of them. If they were cheering and you know, while there were still, you know, the people in the rubble and there were still firemen missing, we know what would happen. It wouldn't be accepted. But only with Jewish people and Israel is this somehow, like, deemed as, like, some peaceful protest. It's not peaceful. It's not peaceful. And if they keep going, this is going to turn into, you know, it's going to turn violent. It only takes one person to just, you know, go up there and do something that, you know, becomes a bigger situation. And I hope that doesn't happen. But, you know, they're antagonizing, you know, a group of people, and then a group of people that are suffering. And outside of Jews, anybody that's okay with this, of any race, creed, color, religion, sexuality, anybody that's okay with this is complicit.
So when AOC, not to turn this political, Michael, but when AOC yesterday at a conference with Joe Biden, the two of them are standing out there for Earth Day, and Joe Biden says, hey, man, we need to be more empathetic towards the Palestinians. And when AOC says, and by the way, I'm very proud of those students, those pro-Palestine students, for speaking their mind and holding, quote, peaceful protests all across the country. What do you mean? Of course it's political.
She's a scumbag. AOC is a conman. AOC is a race hustler. She knows exactly what she's doing. She's a joke. She's a clown. I can't stand her. I can't steal Jamal Bowman. Her whole crew is a bunch of race hustling, con, low life, miserable. They're scumbags. Can I say that on the radio?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
She's a scumbag, and she's an antagonistic little race hustler. And they make me sick. What they were saying is political, and she knows it ain't peaceful. It ain't peaceful, because if they were saying Puerto Ricans, anything about anything else, whatever she was, she's Puerto Rican, Dominican, whatever she claims to be, none of this would be okay. She would be freaking out.
Of course,
she's full of crap.
No, she is. But I will say this too about your speech yesterday, and I got to give you credit. Because you went into the Israel situation, you've been back there many times since October the 7th, and you talked about the hostages. I was speaking moments ago about Rachel Goldberg, who actually made the Time magazine list of 100 most important people. What a horrible way to make that list. But
right.
We both met with Rebecca Goldberg in Israel. You've met with many hostage parents. You've been there many times. You've been to the kibbutz. You've been to the Nova Music Festival. Can you explain to people here just how unbelievably horrific those scenes were?
First of all, Sid, it's day 200. Today is the 200th day. Another thing for this tri-state, particularly New York listener, ship, there's five citizens of New York, five kids from New York. One of the families from Nassau County. They speak and sound just like I do, just like you guys do, just like Sid does. They're from Long Island, okay? The hand-to-hand violence that I saw in kibbutz, and when I say kibbutz, it's a simple, humble, working-class neighborhood. And the kibbutz that they attacked are the most left, peacenik neighborhoods of all of Israel. These are the people that believed in two-state solution, believed in getting along. They attacked them in these small, humble, working-class homes, and they went from home to home to home to home. And the amount of bullet holes and the amount of grenades that were used in each and every small home would blow your mind. The blood, the violence, it was intimate violence. It wasn't blowing up a building from far away. Not that anything is better. I don't compare tragedies. But the intimacy, the hand-to-hand violence, and these hostage families and the victims and the survivors that I met so many people that went through so much trauma. They haven't been able to rest. Obviously, if your family is still your kids, your grandparents. There's an 86-year-old Holocaust survivor, Shlomo. I met his granddaughter. They are so demoralized. They are so broken. And, you know, it's so upsetting on so many levels. There's 80,000 displaced people in Israel. I mean, because, you know, we're being attacked from the north. There's 80,000 displaced people because all their homes were burnt to ground. They were burnt to the ground. You saw it in Kfar Aza. And like I said, when we say kibbutz, you might as well just say like a simple neighborhood in Long Island or a simple working class neighborhood in Connecticut. And just the amount of the stories, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of stories of the violence and the trauma that these people went through and they're continuing to go through. And I saw that 48 minutes of footage, you know, everybody sees, you know, a clip here, a clip there. I saw this 48 minutes of footage. I want to remind everybody in that 48 minutes of footage, the violence that I saw and the celebration that I saw from these animals, and they didn't scream apartheid. They didn't scream occupation. They didn't scream 1948. Not one of these savages said the word Palestine. They cheered. They celebrated. They videotaped themselves raping, beheading, shooting, throwing grenades into these little bomb shelters. And when you say bomb shelters, it's like an extra room. It's not like some special high-tech, you know, Bourne Identity room. Not one of them said anything about 1948 occupation, Palestine, from the river to the sea. They screamed. They said Allahu Akbar. They kicked, stomped dead bodies. That's what I saw with my own eyes. And if you want to keep looking at it, you could find the stuff online. And they would have gotten these dummies up at these Columbia campuses. If they were in Israel that day, they would have gotten the exact same treatment. Yeah. The AOC, any of those kids that are up there, they would have gotten the exact same treatment, period. If you're not down with them, if you're not a radical Muslim jihadist, done. They don't care if you're Catholic, atheist, Buddhist, Jewish, if you're free thinking, punk rock, hip hop, LGBTQ, if you question authority, question the government, they're not having any of that.
No.
Do not forget that.
Yep. No, you nailed it. That's a great job. Michael, in the final 30 to 60 seconds, amazing appearance, really amazing. Thank you. Tell everybody about your big show coming up in Connecticut this weekend.
I'm going to be at Mohegan Sun, you know. You know, it's hard, Sid. You know, I'm happy for the shows, but sometimes it's hard to turn on because, you know, last night I woke up and I was like, you know, last night before I went to sleep, I was like, I want to start the day and not pay attention to anything. But it's impossible to, knowing that our people are there, that civilians are there for 200 days. But I'm doing great shows in Mohegan Sun. And, you know, it is a blessing to be able to forget everything And obviously I talk about what's going on, but they're comedy shows, so I try to make people laugh. And, you know, hopefully I won't lose any money in between shows at Mohegan Sun. And, you know, I appreciate you and I appreciate your listeners and I appreciate everybody who is fighting for what's right, whatever religious denomination people are, because like I said from the beginning, this is not the New York way, what's happening, particularly on our campuses of New York City. It's not. These kids can't be from New York. They can't be from New York, because if you're from New York, people from the five boroughs, people from Long Island are better than this. We know better than that.
I agree. I agree with everything you just said. Michael Rappaport, amazing job yesterday. Great appearance on this show this morning. And really, this whole period, this tragic period, you've been one of our strongest and most important voices. Have some great shows up at Mohegan Sun, and I'll talk to you and see you again very soon. Thank you so much.
I love you, Sid. You're my guy, and I've known you for a long time, and I appreciate you.
Thank you.
And have a great rest of the day, Sid.
You too. I love you too, Michael. I really do. That's Michael Rappaport, great actor and just a great voice. And that's a great way to wrap up the 8 o'clock hour. We'll come back with two more guests, Sid and Friends in the Morning. Keep it right here.
Not to let go, and while we miss chances, you can almost hear God slipping away.
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
What you say? He's just a friend.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Oi!
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, till the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. When I left my home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway station, when I'm scared. Laying low, seeking out the poor quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. Lie-la-lie, lie-la-lie.
You know, the more I think about being out there across the street from Columbia University yesterday, and again, thanks to Mike Rappaport for just joining me. Yesterday, we had Long Island Congressman Anthony D'Esposito, Rockland County Congressman Mike Lawler, Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman, who used to box, by the way, and Rappaport. And we stood across the street from Columbia University, and we held this great press conference, which has been on every news outlet over the last day. And we were there to protect and pump up the Jewish students, not the pro-Palestinians, not the pro-Hamas, the Jewish students. And it occurred to me yesterday, these kids that go to this college, they've got parents, right? They have parents. So you're telling me that Jacqueline and Blake, who live somewhere on the Upper East Side, send their snot-nosed imbecile to Columbia, and they don't know that their kid is walking around wearing a kefir and asking for death to America and death to the Jews? I think parenting in this country is just about gone. I mean that. You know, all the talk about the black community and all the issues inside the black community, and there are tons. I don't sugarcoat it here. I don't. Make up about 13% of the population, commit about 57% of the crime. It's enough of that. But a lot of that is because there's no dads. That's the bottom line. There's no dads. Parenting is gone. It's over. I really believe a lot of these issues with our kids. Now, look, there are still good parents and kids go bad. That happens. But the overwhelming majority of parents that really work at it save the day. Not every kid is perfect. They may get arrested. They may even go to rehab. But they're not going to kill people. They save the day.
Well, there's only one thing. They're right at the cusp of being adults. So they're sent to school, and now
they're adults.
The,
you're
they're,
right.
They're
right.
In the ocean of other
right.
ridiculous
no, you're right.
idiots.
They've
That's left, so it's blended. Yeah.
They've left mommy and daddy.
Right.
You're
so
right.
So they're getting tainted.
But I got to tell you, my daughter goes affected. To college in Europe. If I found out my daughter was marching with a bunch of pro-Hamas people, I would find out.
Understood.
And she'd be in big trouble.
Yes.
College or not, I'd find out.
Right. That's your family. You have that still. I'm your parent.
Right.
I'm teaching you.
Too many Americans don't have it. Now, on a much lesser note, but still important, I was reading something from my dear friend, boxing Hall of Famer, Teddy Atlas, the great trainer. And he penned an open letter to Staten Island parents in youth sports. And he said, it's time to make better choices. Again, not on a scale with kids marching, promoting murder. I get that. But once again, where are the parents? So let me bring them on, one of my great buddies, and I maintain to this day the best event of the year. Is his charity event every Thursday before Thanksgiving on Staten Island, the great Hall of Fame boxing trainer, Teddy Atlas. Good morning, Teddy. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Sid. And good morning to everybody, to all you guys over there. It's good to talk to you.
No, it's great to have you, too. And I know you heard my little riff just now on parenting, and I was out
you
there in Columbia. I know you couldn't agree more, right?
No, you couldn't be righter. Listen, it's... The greatest gift in life is having a child, if you're blessed enough. You know, it's a privilege. It's a blessing. It's not a right to have a child. Not everybody can have a child. It's the greatest blessing there is on this planet from God. And well, whatever you believe in, but, you know, I believe it's from God. But two people getting together, loving each other, and being able to create a miracle, a child. But it's also the greatest responsibility in the world that goes with that. And that's where we have problems. And I feel like I can talk about it a little bit like you can talk about it. You have the platform to talk about it. But I can talk about it because my foundation for the last 28 years now, it's going on the 28th year, and you help us a lot to promote it and to come there. We have a lot of celebrities that come to help us raise money. The money does not go to the administrative costs. We have one paid employee. We have one small office. We have volunteers. It goes to the cases. It goes to the places that it's supposed to go to. And, you know, whether it's to help pay for chemotherapy for a drug that is not paid for by the insurance or parent for a sick child with cancer, or whether it's to fly them out of state because they got to get a different treatment program, or whether it's to put a handicapped bathroom up for a single mom who is struggling and she's got an invalid child, whatever it is. But we do a lot of social programs, and we go in, we call it the Dr. Atlas Incentive Programs. We go into the schools, at-risk schools. They call them Title I schools in New York. Families making less than $35,000, and there's a lot of problems there. And, yeah, right away you think about economics, you think about poverty. I get it, but I'm there, and I can tell you firsthand the biggest problem, no fathers. No fathers. That's the biggest problem because we see it. And so we go in there and we tell them, we say, look, if you take on, I don't ask for A's, I don't ask for B's. If they're in school, they're going to get better. They're going to get, you know, but they got to care about the most important thing they got to care about, themselves, who they are. They stop caring about who they are. They don't give a damn. So we go in there, we tell them, look, if you over the next marking period, your teachers have the power to put you on the list. If over the next marking period, you start taking ownership over who you are. Yeah, responsible. I know you have problems at home. We get it. But if you, it's still your choice. The most powerful thing that we have in this world is the power to make a choice. And it's important for a parent. It's more than important for a parent. It's incumbent on them to explain that. It's your choice. Your choice how you act. Your choice how you talk to somebody. Your choice how you treat somebody. Your choice how you behave. So we tell them, if you make the choice to start to take ownership over who you are, care about who you are every day, you're going to get on the list. We're coming back. We're dropping off 200 tickets to a Yankee game, a Mets game, a Knicks game, the next game. We take you to the new science fair over there, which is a great place because we don't want it to be only sports. But we want to tell the kids that we care and you have to care and give them incentive to care about who the hell they are, how they act every day, simple things. And we do that. We also go into the at-risk neighborhoods. We bring mental health mobile vans where we bring psychiatrists, psychologists. We bring mentors. We bring anti-bullying, anti-suicide. Yeah, anti-suicide. Because kids 10 years old are committing suicide because they're being bullied. I don't want to pay for any more funerals for 10 years. I paid for a lot of them. I don't want to pay for any more. I want to get to the problem. And again, at the end of the day, everywhere we go, there's no fathers.
And, you know, there's no fathers. That's the biggest problem. Hall of Fame boxing trainer Teddy Atlas.
We had to shut down a program that you're talking about, a basketball program we've run for 20 years on Staten Island, because some of these kids, they don't have the ability to go and go to a game and have a uniform and have a referee and everything. So we run these programs in all these schools on Staten Island, and it's been going for 20 years. I had to shut it down 2 weeks ago. Why I had to shut it down? Because a mother attacked the referee, and twice we had two different mothers, two different situations in 2 weeks where they attacked the referee because they thought they were picking on their kid. They made a bad call against the kid. So they attacked the ref. And then the last week that it happened, one of the mothers called up her boyfriend or whoever it was, and he came there and he attacked the referee in front, right in the gymnasium, walked right into attacked the referee, and the referee wound up having to drop him. And I can't have that.
That is awful. That is awful. And you're right. Parents, when they are there, need to make better choices. And when they're not there, that puts the kid at a huge disadvantage. I do want to talk to you, too, Teddy.
To your point, what you guys are talking about, the things that are so important, that's ripping this country apart, that is leading to people dying, it starts somewhere. It starts, it starts in the gymnasium where it's a mother, there's no father, and there's a mother who's telling the kid everything he does is right, even though the kid went after the referee, even though the kid pushed the referee, even though the kid slammed the kid against the wall. That's okay. That's fine. That's okay. And there's no parenting there. It goes right up to Columbia. It goes right up to these schools you're talking about. It trickles down. It's the same thing. It's the same problem.
Yeah.
It's parents that are privileged with the gift of life and they're not being parents.
That is it right there. Hall of Fame boxing trainer Teddy Atlas. And, you know, I'm getting ready to watch Tyson fight Paul coming up. And you've got a very rich history with Mike Tyson, which includes a gun. But on a serious note, Mike Tyson had no parents. He had no leadership. And then, you know, Cus came along and Jacobs came along and they provided him with some of that. And he became eventually heavyweight champion of the world. But you saw the difference in Tyson, at least I think you did, when he did have some adults around him. He wasn't perfect. I get it. I know what they had to go through with him that people don't even know. But he became at least tolerable when he had people around him that acted as if they cared.
Sid, we all need help. We all need the proper guidance. But we also need to listen, to want that guidance. Tyson, I'll get right down to it. Tyson came from Brownsville, Brooklyn, and he had nothing. He had been arrested 30 times by the time he was 11. Yeah, I said it. 30 times by the time he was 11. So he was given a choice. He was in Tryon. which was a juvenile detention center 30 miles outside of Albany. Bobby Stewart, a former light heavyweight champion in the amateurs, a former pro fighter, called up Cuss and said, I have this kid here. He's 12. At that time, he became 12. He's 12 years old, and he found out I was a fighter. Could I teach him? I teach him a little. I can't teach him anymore. He's very strong. Could you and Teddy teach him if I bring him down there? Can you? And ever since, and he was a kid, even then, even we know what he was on the streets. He was arrested 30 times. You don't need more information. But even there, he was not listening. He was getting problems all the time. He was being put into special cottages. They had cottages up there for kids that would, you know, continue to not follow the rules, continue to have problems. And then once he found out that he was a fighter and he would teach him, and there was a chance he could become a boxer, there was a chance that he could change his life, there was a chance he could be with Cuss Amano, and that I was Cuss's trainer, but Cuss was the name. He could be with Cuss. Once he found that out, it changed. In other words, once he found out that there was a different path, that there was an opportunity, all of a sudden there was incentive to change. That's what I'm talking about, incentive to change. But it came from guidance. At that time, it was a man named Bobby Stewart saying, you know what? You could do this. What could I do? You could become a fighter. You could wind up having a life where people actually want to know you. People hate you now. But actually, he said himself, no one wants to know me. Nobody likes me. No, but people will like you. People will want to know you. You will have the ability to walk down the street with your chin up. And be proud instead of hiding because a cop might find you, right, or hiding because somebody might say, yeah, that's the guy who did that. He's a piece of you know what.
Right.
And,
right.
And he took that, and he just the opportunity for that, just to hear that, for somebody to tell him that, to guide him towards that, to give him a choice. And then you got to make the choice. And then he was able to make that choice. That's what parents do. Parents guide. Parents tell you what the choices are. Parents tell you what the wrong choices are. We don't have that no more.
No, we don't. It's a sad commentary. About 2 minutes to go. This is what a great conversation. Great. Now you know why the Atlas Foundation does so well. Teddy Atlas, not just a Hall of Fame boxing trainer and an all-time sports great. I'm going to say this because I mean it. One of the most sincere and good-hearted, decent people you'll ever meet. He really is. And his message is coming across loud and clear this morning. But on the way out, I saw something on Instagram about Dustin Poirier coming up June the 1st. What is that all about?
Yeah, well, he's got a big fight coming up. But, you know, he put out a video. And it's quite a video. People, if you tell people what it is, they can find it, I guess, somewhere. You know, I'm a caveman. I can't find nothing. I don't know how to do anything technology.
that's why you have Sharon. Sharon does all that.
Yeah,
she's great.
Sharon's the best. Yeah, and my family. That's why I sent my daughter to law school. So she could do that. She said, Dad, I'm a lawyer. You can't keep calling me to put you on FaceTime. You can't keep calling me to put you on Zoom. I'm a lawyer. I said, all right, honey, but can you do this for me real quick? All right? So Dustin Poirier put out this video with him and with my words in the background. And basically what was talking about was that we have become a society of neon talent where we're caught by the neon talent, the speed, the power, the explosiveness. Somebody's real quick. Somebody's real brilliant. And that's what we think of. But what about the other talents? The talent, yeah, sometimes it's connected to who your parents are, to genetics. Sometimes you're not big enough. Sometimes you're not that fast. You're slow. You're not as a, but there's other talents that everyone can get. Everybody can find. And that's the talent of being dependable, determined, reliable. The talent of character, being resilient. What about those talents? We all can embrace those. We can all go find those. We can all develop those. And those are the best talents in the world because they never go away. They never get old. You know, reflexes get old. Speed, it slows down when you get old. It disappears. Dependability never disappears. And I'm going to finish with this. And you, I know this is coming out of left field, and I don't care because it's coming from my heart. You are here
talking with the biggest radio show at your slot in the country. You were there because of those, because you had the quick wit. You had the quick tongue. You were real smart. You knew how to put words together. You knew how to do all that. But you had a problem years ago. And then what did you do? Yeah, you had great people around you that helped you with your wife and special people. But the talent that you really embrace at the end, the reason you're here right now and I'm talking to you, because you became dependable. You weren't dependable. You became determined to make up your mind to overcome what you had to overcome. You wanted that before. You became reliable. You wanted that before. You had character. And that's why you're here.
Wow.
And that's it. That's all I have to say.
That's all you have to say. First of all, that was so well said and so right. I was a lot of things, but I was never dependable, despite my beautiful wife, Danielle, and my parents, and my dad was alive. Who the hell needs Anthony Robbins? What the hell are you doing as a boxing trainer? You should be a one of those speakers. What do you call those guys that go out there and make people
motivation.
Happy? Yes! Teddy Atlas! Oh, my God! That is a great job, Teddy. I love you. I love you a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take care. There he is. That is a great conversation with a great man. He's a great man. Folks, listen to me. Next November, you got to help this man out. I give you plenty of time to donate to the Dr. Theodore Atlas Foundation before our big dinner, before Thanksgiving, November of 2024. No excuse. You make sure you help out my friend, the great Boxing Hall of Fame trainer, and what a heart, Teddy Atlas. Still to come, New York Post columnist Michael Goodwin. Keep it right here.
And wishing I was gone, going home, where the New York City winters are bleeding me, bleeding me, going home.
Sid and Friends in the Morning,
77 WABC.
My name is Sid Rosenberg. I am the morning show host, 77 WABC Radio. This idea was born on my radio show at 6 a.m. this morning. First of all, let me thank everybody for coming out here today. It's important for all the press that we see for these people across the street taking over our city. It's important that the pro-Israel, the pro-Jewish voices be heard as well, especially today, with tonight being the first night of Passover. That's why I thought today is the perfect time to come and hold this conference. We see what's happening right across the street. I see tents in there. I see camps in there. I can't believe in New York City, with such a large and proud Jewish population, that we've allowed this to happen. And people have taken over universities and are out in the streets promoting a group that murdered, tortured, and raped innocent Jewish people on a Saturday morning during Shabbat and a Jewish holiday. Unprovoked murder and rape. And yet we've got people all over this city, right there across the street, that are promoting this as if it's a good thing. So I've got a lot of friends in politics, and these are fine people. So I want to bring up each one by one so they can tell you how they feel today on this important Passover holiday right here across the street from one of our finest institutions that at this point has been taken over by terrorists. Not that these people are. They're terrorists. If you're a pro-terrorist, you're a terrorist.
Being beat up and battered around. Being
shut down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. And believe it,
it's already got people, happy birthday, Roy Orbison, people down in Florida that said to me, hey, Sid, amazing job yesterday, but I can't post any of the videos because Michael Rappaport is in them, and I'm a Trump guy, or a Trump girl. And I'm just going to say this. It's getting tiring. I personally am able to separate important topics. In other words, clearly, if you listen to me and you know me, the conflict with the Jewish people, the Israel-Hamas war, the Israel-Iran war, I'll take it a step further, the Israel-United States war, which does exist, is completely different than Trump. Michael Rappaport has gone back and forth to Israel many times. He's always been a very, very proud Jew. He gets a ton of attention on his social media, pro-Jewish, sits with the families of the hostages. Do I like it when he calls my friend Trump Dickstein? No, I can't stand it. It's stupid. It's stupid. Do I think politically he needs to really, really think a little more? I do. I'll tell him that to his face. He was okay ripping AOC today. He didn't rip Biden. After I said to him, Biden said, you must have more empathy towards the Palestinians. No way. So he's selective in his anger. He picks out certain Democrats, and he's selective. Now, if you really follow Rappaport, you would know that he's been saying, as of late, Trump is going to win. He has even said, intimated, he may vote for Trump. Now, again, calling Trump Dickstein, that's his deal. What can I tell you? But that is a completely different story than Israel and the Jews. Now, do I think there's a chance if President Trump hears that I put Rappaport on, he would get mad at me? Sure I do, because I know the president, and I love Trump. I love Trump as much as anyone. There has been nobody in the media who has shown more love to President Trump than me. Nobody. Nobody. I love him. And if he gets mad at me and doesn't talk to me, I'll still love him. But knowing Trump, could he get mad? Sure he could. Absolutely. Oh, I thought Sid was my friend.
You know he's a bad guy. You know I don't like him, Sid.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You know, I freedom is a one thing, but with some people, it's no good. Fake news.
So now I guess he called Tacopina names. I didn't know this. He called me names after the trial on the courthouse steps.
Oh, he's texting you, telling
I told him to come here and say it to my face.
Who's that, Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
But I've got people in Florida texting me, too, Trump supporters, who are like, no, we can't post this because of Rob, so. I mean.
Everybody's.
Everybody gets so, they take everything so damn personal. Whatever. And, I mean, of course, my loyalties are to Joseph. I've been friends with Tacopina for 47 years. I've been friends with Rappaport for about 15 years. Anyway, we'll take a short break. When we'll get back, we'll talk to New York Post columnist Michael Goodwin.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
The summer sun was down on our love long ago. But in my heart I feel the same old afterglow. A love so beautiful.
Orbison, happy birthday. Would have been 88 today, but he's long dead. Got about 7 minutes to go. I want to get to Michael Goodwin, the great New York Post columnist. So, Michael, do you have any idea where I was yesterday?
What's that?
What is that?
You said yesterday. That's all I heard. Sorry.
It's okay. Do you have any idea where I was yesterday?
Columbia, NYU, the Trump trial. There's a lot going on in New York. The Knicks game? I don't know.
No, I did. I held a rally with the help of Long Island Congressman Anthony D'Esposito, Rockland County Congressman Mike Lawler, Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman, and actor Michael Rappaport, right there on 116th Street and Broadway, outside the gates of Columbia University. And on the day before the first night of Passover, all of us stood there on behalf of the Jewish students to protect and say good things about the Jews in a city that has become very comfortable, and institutions like the two you mentioned, Columbia and NYU, chanting, "We want death," for people like Rosenberg and Goodwin.
It's quite a time, isn't it? And at a Passover Seder last night, I mean, we were talking about what happened. I mean, where did this all come from? I mean, obviously the spark was the events in Gaza, but the depth of hatred, the numbers of people who are steeped in this anti-Semitism, they did a pretty good job of hiding it for a long time. And now the masks are off. But it like a flash, right, Sid? I mean, in other words, you look back to the congressional testimony where the Columbia president, you know, kind of made her way through it, and then the next day has the police come in, take down the tents, et cetera. It seemed like maybe that would be a turning point in a good sense. But here we are, less than a week later, and it's like the world has flipped on its head. Hmm. It's gotten demonstrably worse. It has spread. I mean, it now feels like it's deeply embedded, and therefore much harder. You can't just scrape away the top layer. It feels like this is something that I frankly did not see coming.
No, neither did I, to be honest. But it's not surprising. You know, Rappaport was on. You know, this is not political. And I don't see this happening at FAU down in Boca Raton, Florida. I don't see this happening on the campus of Texas at Texas A&M. It's New York University. It's Columbia University in this blue, rotten Democrat city where the governor is hundreds of miles to the north and doesn't really care. And the mayor, who tweets all the right things, basically throws his hands up in the air. He was in Miami yesterday, first day of Passover. The night before, your universities in New York are on fire. What are you doing in Miami? I'm at the university, not the mayor. All your political officials don't really seem to care.
I agree with you that they seem, frankly, starstruck in the sense that they don't know what to do, and so they stay away from it. I mean, that's not good enough. You have got to get a handle on this. I mean, last night, the march on the police headquarters. I mean, this is the kind of stuff of revolutions. It feels like there's so much hatred and a wish for violence. And this is an all-hands-on-deck moment for all the political leadership. And look, I think it does not bode well, not just for the future of the city, but for America's role in the world. I mean, you can already see it with Joe Biden and the White House putting more and more pressure on Israel. I mean, you and I have talked about this many times, but the net effect of all of that is that Iran gets more emboldened. They are reading these stories, too. Nasrallah mentioned the anti-Israel protest in America, how grateful Hezbollah is. I mean, this is international impact we're talking about.
It is.
And America cannot retreat in the sense that
we just let the wolves eat the rabbits? We can't do that.
Well, you know, Biden yesterday at this Earth Day conference actually scolded Americans for not having more empathy for the Palestinians. Hard to believe. And then you've got his cohort standing next to him, AOC, who was congratulating these animals on our campuses for, quote, putting on peaceful demonstrations literally 3 hours before 150 were arrested at NYU. So what do you expect?
Yeah, look, I think that is the Democratic Party right now. That's the energy in that party. And it has captured the party. The so-called moderates have been running scared for 5, 6, 7 years. And now it has come to this. This did not come out of nowhere, right? You can see the fingerprints going backwards. You look at what's happened to the Democratic Party and all of the craziness that they've done. I mean, they've taken away all of the protections for law-abiding people. It doesn't end. The story about, you know, the Post has a column today about the federal government that any kind of employer who does a criminal background check is somehow guilty of racism because blacks are arrested at higher rates than whites. And so, therefore, if you do a criminal background check and you don't hire a prospective employee because they committed murder, you're a racist. Mm. I mean, this is crazy time. Crazy. And yet it has reached the top levels of our government and of our institutions. It's quite breathtaking.
It's terrifying is what it is. I hate to cut this short because you're brilliant and I love your columns in the New York Post and I love you even more when you come on this show. So let's do it again. We're running out of time. But thank you for sharing these last 8 minutes with me, Michael Goodwin. It's always eye-opening, always great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Sid. Thank you.
You got it. The great Michael Goodwin, the terrific columnist of the New York Post. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday Sid and Friends in the Morning Show. Great job, as always, Lou Ruffino. Thank you for the Roy Orbison stuff. Justin Ellick, Noam Layden. Excuse me, he's out. Jim Flippin did a great job in Noam's stead today. God willing, we'll all be back tomorrow morning for a 6 a.m. Hump Day Tunnel to Towers Wednesday show. Until then. On this Tuesday morning, from all of us on Sid and Friends in the Morning, to all of you in New York, stay safe. Peace.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.